The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Spartans! A new age has begun! A new age of freedom!
This is PFW in Progress.
Well, about a year ago, I promised to rescind Sparta's don't ask, don't tell policy.
PFW in Progress.
I mean, it's not like any of your games.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, when Stephanos joined this army, you took him under your wing. Every night, you two walk in the woods together for hours. Now, imagine how awkward one of those walks would be if one of you turned out to be gay.
Yeah, that would be awkward if one of us were gay.
Paul Perillo.
I'm as straight as they come, and I wouldn't be able to fight if I thought some gay guy was checking out my body.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
And Andy.
Well, if you're gay, feel free to raise your hand, proudly and publicly.
Andy Hart.
Are you telling me you're gay?
Are you asking for yourself or a friend?
Eric Scalavino.
So when you oil me up before battle?
No strategic value. Just want to get my hands on you.
And the leather sheath you made for my penis?
Just needed a reason to measure it.
For now, anyway.
And all the times we had sex.
All some gay reasons.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You're still the greatest army on earth. And if we do live to see tomorrow, I'm sure we'll have a good laugh about this in the bathhouse. The bathhouse! Okay, this is all starting to make more sense.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. That's, comes from our Tuesday show about the movie 300.
So. And it comes from Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Yeah, that's all a Saturday Night Live skit. But never have we had a guest that was horrified before we actually started the show.
Good, Paul.
Today.
Good, Paul, because we'll start it right off. With us in the studio right now is Patriots' newest offensive lineman, or one of the newest offensive linemen, Robert Gallery. Robert, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
So, that didn't shock you, that opening, I hope.
No, it's good. I like it.
Okay, all right, cool.
Have you seen 300?
I have. Actually, I'm embarrassed to say I just watched it like a few weeks ago for the first time.
I still haven't seen it.
See, we all love it, you know, and I guess who came to us the other day and said, oh, you know, that's a gay movie. And we're like, well, what are you talking about? So we had this whole discussion, and that's why our producer made this.
That's an old Saturday Night Live skit.
Very nice. I'm impressed.
What did you think of the movie?
It was good. I thought it was good. I'm, you know, when you have kids, you're about 2 years behind on movies. So,
right.
You know, it was a new one for me, but I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was excellent. Anyway, welcome to the show and welcome to the Patriots. I know you've been here for a while, but, this first time we've had a chance to talk to you. You know, what have you been doing so far? How are things going for you?
You know, just kind of getting acclimated, get into start the off-season program, doing that stuff. You know, meeting all the guys, obviously doing getting into to the routine that they have here, and just getting ready for these OTAs and mini camps. That's really all about at this point.
What's your reaction to that, Ben? Because we talked to some of the other new faces, Will Allen, Trevor Scott, and they kind of said, "Wow, this off-season program is legit."
Yeah. No, they you know, with the new the lockout last year and the new CBA, the time is obviously. Less than it used to be, so it's, you know, you got to be full go once you get here, and it's all about work here, and that's what you want in an organization, and that's why I'm glad to be a part of it.
You know, my impression of Robert Gallery over the years, you know, I just
this ought to be good.
No, but, you know, we've obviously never met. I see you on the field. You got the long hair and you got the tats and you're a Raider. And I just think, man, this guy is probably this crazy heavy metal guy. But now I talk to you and you seem to be mild mannered and a nice guy. I mean,
he's from Iowa.
He also has long sleeves on too.
Very mild mannered.
You don't see all the tats.
Right. So was that just a wrong, impression I had of you, or was there at a time where you were just a crazy guy and now you have kids and you've kind of simmered down?
I think there's a time to be crazy, and you know, when you're live on a radio show, I don't know. My parents raised me better than that.
You can be crazy on this show.
Different circumstances, but no, it's it's the perception maybe, and I think there's a little of both. But I am who I am. I'm not uneducated. You know, just because you look a certain way doesn't mean you can't speak or you're not well spoken. And you know, obviously that's because of my my upbringing. But
right.
Yeah, your perception's pretty good.
What was your upbringing? I mean, people think I think of Iowa, and I think the farm boys and corn. Is that you?
That's pretty much it.
Okay, yeah, you're right. A cliche.
Yeah, three brothers and a sister lived. You know, my parents farmed 800-acre farm. My dad still does. You know, the pretty stereotypical.
That's all right, cool. So you had an older brother who was a punter in the NFL. You had a younger brother who was a punter at Iowa, and you're a massive offensive lineman. How did that happen?
Yeah, it's my sister did track at Iowa, and you know, we have kind of it's kind of in our genes, I think. So it's obviously genetics and size helps out.
But you hit a growth spurt that apparently they didn't to go for, because you punted in high school, right? You were a tight end, kicker, punter, and then at some point you.
Yeah, you got to realize though, my high school had 34 kids in my graduating class, so they were.
He really is a stereotype.
Really is.
They were looking for guys to do a few of those things, but it was one of those where I got a little bit. My brothers and sisters got the short end of the stick on the genetics.
I mean, but you know, I know a lot of linemen that once they stop playing, they actually get smaller. You know, they had to work hard to keep the size on. Is that your body type? Will you probably get smaller once you stop all the training and all that?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I'm definitely not a guy that that'll blow up and one of those guys that'll turn into a 450 pounder. But
why is he looking at me?
You know, I think it's definitely when I am done, it's something I'll lose some weight and hopefully not too much though, because my skinny self isn't a great picture. Yeah.
Plus, all those tattoos will wrinkle up and sag.
Exactly.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Robert, was your college coach, Kirk Ferentz, and obviously there's a connection with Belichick. He was on Bill's staff back in Cleveland. Have you talked to Bill enough to sort of compare and contrast the two? Are there a lot of similarities? I would think there probably are.
Yeah, definitely. Just kind of the mannerisms, the way they go about things, the way they run things, it's very familiar to me. And, that's a great thing because, I got the taste of this in college. You know, it was a very professionally run college program. And, to come here and knowing about him and, the Patriots are in and out of our facility throughout college. So I got to know those guys a little bit. And, I'm just glad it took a few more years than I thought, but to get out here.
How about, have you gotten a taste for Scar yet, Dante Scarnecchia? Because, Matt Light just retired, and one of the jokes was that after 8 years, they got comfortable with each other. You're obviously new to the situation. What is your initial reaction to Dante Scarnecchia?
That's been great. You know, I've got a chance to meet with him, see how he does things. And, it's the type of coach you want, a guy that'll get after you.
Called you a bleeping moron yet?
Not yet. I'm sure.
He will. He definitely will.
I've heard that. But, you want a coach like that, a guy that's going to push you. But, you can sit down and talk to him. And, he's a normal guy.
Yeah, at training camp, everyone's split up in their groups. And the offensive linemen are normally in the far left corner. We call that Dante's Inferno. That's,
He wants to be as far away as possible so he can say whatever he wants to you, and he will. He gets creative with his language.
But I'll tell you something. When you guys are doing sprints, he's doing them with you. I mean, he's with you. He's got your back the whole way. A lot of the linemen tell us he's one of the best coaches they've ever had. He breaks it down for them. I've seen him from working with you guys down to the high school level. He knows how to relate, and so you got yourself a good coach there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Everything I've heard is great, and that's that's what you want at this point.
Along those lines, I wanted to get back to Kirk a little bit because Andy and I were talking before the show. When he was with Bill in Cleveland, he was sort of like Dante. He was a very he was a nurturer of offensive linemen. They had an offensive line development program, practice squad guys. How helpful was he for you, Kirk, at Iowa? Do you feel like you really got a good baseline of preparation to be an NFL lineman from him?
Yeah, definitely. He in college, he worked with us every day. At some point in our drills, he was working with the line, and that was over a 5-year period. So I definitely picked up things with him and talking with him, and that's his bread and butter. That's who he is, and obviously from Cleveland was what he's known for. So they're going to have a good group of linemen there, and I think that's why they've continued to because of him.
I know they're not big on telling you when they bring you in what your role is going to be, or you're going to play this or that. But you're a guy that's played pretty much except for center. You've played all over the offensive line in the NFL. Is that something you're comfortable with if you just enter a season as who knows, I might be left guard, I might be right tackle, I might be, I mean, is there comfort there for you at all those spots, or do you feel like you're better suited for one or the other?
That was the exact question I was going to ask.
Well, great minds think alike.
No, I think it's one of those, obviously, you know, the past 5 or 6 years I've played guard. You know, obviously there's some comfort there, but, you know, I played tackle my first 3 years, and whatever it is, they're going to put the best five guys on the field, and wherever that is, I'll be comfortable. You know, it's in the situation, you know, I want to come in and earn a spot, and just like everybody else, and that's what I plan to do.
I'm sure you're sick of these types of questions, but obviously you were the number two overall pick, and I can remember Belichick joking how much he liked you, but, you know, there was never going to be a chance that they could get you. Has your career, how have you looked at your career? You end up as a guard as opposed to, you know, some people said you were the greatest left tackle in the history of college football. How have you come to grips with your journey through the NFL and your career?
You know, it's one of those things you, you know, deal with the hand you're dealt, and, you know, it's have things gone exactly like in the book I wrote? No. But, you know, it's been a good process, and, you know, it is what it is. There's no excuses, but, you know, there's a, you know, you go through different coaching, and, you know, there's a ton of different things that can affect. Winning obviously helps everything, makes everybody look better. And
well, you just
a
said,
lot of those things we haven't, you know, haven't been a part of the past 8 years.
It took longer for you to get here than you maybe expected. Do you think things would have turned out differently had you been somehow, you know, the Patriots traded up and picked two overall and taken you? Think it would have been a different career for you, a different?
It's hard to say if you could go back in time and tell that. I don't know, but, you know, I know one thing that, you know, consistency and winning, you know, changes a lot of things. So, you know, it is what it is. I wouldn't change anything. I've learned a lot about myself, and, you know, I'm just here to be the best player I can be and contribute to this team.
You know, and no disrespect to offensive linemen, but no, but
that means he's gonna, no, that means he's going to do exactly that.
I'm actually going to defend what you kind of just said. When it gets like the Pro Bowl voting, if you're on a winning team, and again, no disrespect to a Matt Light or a Dan Copen who went to the Pro Bowl, but I think being on the Patriots helped them get those votes from their peers. Mm-hmm. I mean, so as offensive linemen, do you guys kind of kid around about that? That, you know, I could have the best season ever, but my team went, you know, 2-14. I got no shot.
And that happened to you a couple of years. I've read a lot of stuff that's what year, I don't even know what year it was, but a couple of years ago, a lot of people said you had the best season of any offensive lineman in football, but no one knew because you were in Oakland and you weren't with Tom Brady and winning Super Bowls.
Yeah, you know, it is kind of the running joke, but, you know, like I said, winning helps a lot of things, you know, I've never been on a winning team. We've never had a winning season, you know, that is what it is. But like I said, it's to that point, it doesn't bother me what people say. Obviously, you want those accolades and those things, but as long as, you know, you're doing the best that you can do with the situation you're in, that's all you can do.
Sounds right. Obvious that you're here to win. You know, were there other options, or did you say, I can go anywhere I want now, I'm going to New England?
Yeah, you know, it was the first call we got, and, you know, about the last one we took, because I knew it was, I was hoping that this opportunity would arise. Obviously, in maybe a little different situation, but, you know, it is what it is, being hurt last year and whatnot, but this has worked out better than it could have. So, I'm, you know, it was the first call I wanted. I was hoping they call, and you know, if I'm, the story is done. I'm here and I'm ready to go.
You're the second guy who said that too, newcomer who's come on the show and said that this was the call they wanted to get, and it was the first one they got, and they were here. So
yeah, it's obviously the tradition here, and this place is about winning. Knowing, you know, Coach Belichick, you know, obviously through Coach Ferentz a little bit, you know, I know how Coach Ferentz is, and Coach Belichick's that way. That's this point in my career. This is you know, what I've been through. This is what I want. I don't care about anything else. I'm, you know, I want to come here and play well, be in a good situation, and win football games.
Okay, if we wanted to set up a PFW in Progress pay-per-view, obviously you're one of the great left tackles out of Iowa, and we happen to have in the building one of the great pass rushers out of Iowa. Would you guys be willing to go one-on-one
Andre
if we made
Tippett.
It like a PFW?
I mean, you left out the name. Yeah.
Well, Andre, I mean, it goes without saying. Yeah, well, Andre Tippett, I don't...
I knew he knew who you were talking about.
Everybody knows. Tip doesn't need to be named, but you willing to do that for us? Go one-on-one with Tip on the edge?
You know what? We'll have to talk about
just
that.
Just so but you know, my money's
him.
On him.
I respect him so much.
He
that
looks
may,
good.
Yeah, he's. I'm sure he can still do it. So.
Well, he knows the karate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not fair.
Oh, yeah, he fights
like
dirty,
a fifth,
too.
Fifth degree karate. Black belt.
Yeah.
You know?
He fights dirty, too. He'll walk into our offices. He'll flick the light off and say, I'll give you one chance, but you better make it a good one.
You know, after I soil myself behind my desk, I just put the light back on.
Do you still know what? I'll just ask him for a signed jersey and tell him he wins.
There you go. Hall of Famer. All right. We know you got to get going. One question, when you're on the field pregame, what are you listening to on your headphones?
Metallica.
Okay.
Oh, so
you are a heavy metal.
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
Freddie
definitely.
Was right. He's right. A farm boy, heavy metal, tatted up cliche.
How many tattoos, Robert?
I've got a lot.
Is it hard to tell with
where does one end and one
the
other?
He has the full sleeve.
It's more area now, so it's arms,
is it just the
chest,
arms? Or
back.
Is Oh, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Really?
Complete back, chest.
Wow.
See, he'll be good, Andy, if you do your Pat's Ink.
Yeah, every couple of years we do a feature on the tattoos in the locker room, and I'll be sure
the
to
stories
talk to you
behind
that
them and what they mean and all that. So
yeah, very good. Yeah,
do you have corn? Do you have a corn tattoo?
I don't.
You should get one.
He has a lot of religious tattoos. I watched the Patriots Today spot that you did with Brian Lowe, which must have been pretty recent, right? A lot of religious tattoos, Andy.
Are you going back to farming? When NFL's done, you're going to go take up the 800 acres and take over?
I don't think so. I think I'll go back and help if my dad's still farming certain times of the year because there's certain stuff I said after, you know,
never
after
doing
making
that again.
That I'm never doing that again. But, you know, he's moved us on. You know, he told us it's too many things to depend on the weather. And
right.
It's obviously farming's better now, but you know what? I'll go sit in a combine and help do the harvest. That's about it.
You have 800 acres? Mankins, how big is his ranch, his dad's
it's
ranch?
It's big.
It's
Yeah, I don't
yeah.
know.
Have you talked to Logan yet?
Yeah, well, we farm talk a little bit. That's a good
Dane
talk.
Fletcher farm too, talk. I think. Dane Fletcher comes from
Montana
farms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a little
farm. A lot of property
community.
Among our offensive
line. Yeah, no kidding. Or our parents do.
Robert, thank you so much for stopping in.
Really appreciate it.
Good luck this year. We hope that you have a lot of success with the team. You get what you want, which is winning. Because that's good for all of us. All right, Robert Gallery, we're going to take a break right now on PFW in Progress, and we'll be right back.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. We just finished up our interview with Robert Gallery, who was nice enough to come by. I thought that was a good interview.
Yeah. We haven't had a bad one yet.
No, interesting guy. I mean, because...
No, we're the best.
We're the best.
No, seriously, though, I mean, you know, when you think of Robert Gallery, you think of this crazy guy, but he's just so mild-mannered and well-spoken. But he did intimate that he likes intimate that at times he likes to...
Intimate? He didn't get intimate with me. Right. I don't know what you guys were doing.
He likes to let loose. He can get crazy.
Sure.
Okay. So, you know, maybe I'll take him up on that offer sometime.
You're going to get the...
We'll go out to a Bar Louie one night.
So you're going to get intimate with the earrings like he had and got it all tatted up?
No, I just bring him in and say, all right.
You never know. You could wake up
and... Then I act like a punk and mouth off to people. And then when they come after me,
I let my friend take care of it.
Right.
I've done that before.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Comments on Robert Gallery are welcome. On either of those two platforms. Any other news, guys, that we want to kick off the show with?
Well, Rob Gronkowski is going to appear on The Choice, which, yes, it sounds a lot like The Voice because that's what it is, except for dating. Celebrity dating starts June 7th, and he's one of like 20 celebrities on the
show. Bad career decision.
Why?
The people that he's going to be with are B-level, stupid people.
Like Ndamukong Suh.
Well... He's the other sports guy, but
bad move for him too.
Have you looked at all the B-list celebrities and all the, you know, it's going to be a junk show. It's going to be dumb. I think it's a waste of time for him. I don't think it's going to help his career off the field. I know that's what he's thinking as well, which I don't blame him for. But
I think he's just having fun and enjoying life.
Yeah,
guys from Jersey Shore are going to be on.
Yeah,
it too,
dumb,
right?
dumb.
Carmen
dumb,
Electra.
Dumb.
Ooh, hey now.
She's on there's only one show of women celebrities picking male contestants.
Wouldn't be the first time, Fred, that a dumb show became successful, though.
Oh, right. No, yeah.
So TV lately?
Yeah.
No,
I know what Fred's point is. I don't put as much stock into the negative part of it as Fred does. I think Fred looks at it totally. What is that? How does that help him
but
get touchdowns?
He's
first?
Not.
No. He's just having fun.
But he's not Tom Brady. He's not trying to mold this perfect, suave, off-field.
Why do you say it like that?
He's a fun-loving frat boy tight end, and I think this fits in fine with the mold.
Yeah,
I could see him on MTV's Spring Break show or what. That's who he is.
Hosting
and I think
it,
that's
actually.
Who he wants. Yeah, he wants to be that. He's not planning to, you know, his political career afterwards. Or I only accept, you know, endorsements from, you know, the top 1% of
cut rate cologne.
But even the image that you're talking about, the party boy frat boy thing. I think that's
Canoe
fine, but
available.
I think this particular show is going to be crummy, and I think it's Dracar. Not going to help him even
Noir.
Trying to cultivate that image.
I'm not sure it's going to help him, but I don't think it's going to hurt him. I think it's just...
As long as he's fine on the football field...
I know.
What do you care?
I'm just talking about if I was his agent, and I'm... Forget about football. I'm not even saying this is going to affect him on the football field. I'm saying, okay, let's think about the off-field stuff you want to do. I wouldn't have him do
But
this.
What about trying to strike while the iron
too
is hot?
Too much commitment for too little return.
Well, how do you know what he's getting in return?
How do you know what the commitment was? I think he shot one show, so it's probably a one-day commitment.
And how do you know what the return is?
Yeah, it's not worth it. Not worth it. I'm telling you.
What if they...
No one talks out of their ass like Fred.
How do you know they didn't come to him and say, we'll give you $10 million to appear on this show?
I'm pretty sure they didn't do that.
How do you know, though?
Because they don't do that for these shows.
Fred knows everything.
Okay.
He just looked down on you.
Okay. He did. Over the glasses he's not wearing.
Well, that's John in L.A. He can tell us. Because he's in the business.
Not unless he's in that.
Not in that particular business.
They know.
And not
they
anymore
talk.
He's in the business.
Yeah, but he writes...
show's done. He's a waiter now.
But John writes for real television programming, creative stuff. This is a stupid reality nonsense.
Exactly.
That isn't
and one of the reasons
or, well,
why there's so many reality shows these days is because they're lower budget than what John does.
Yeah.
You know what you're talking about.
Right.
But
that's
true.
All the judges on these shows make 10 to 15 million a year.
Yeah. That's the regular reality shows with everyday people in them. These are a little bit different. Now, I'm not saying that Gronkowski's making a lot of money. I agree with you. I don't think he is.
No, I think he probably got $100,000 or something.
No, but he's doing all of these things, and the accumulation of all of these things could be a lot for him.
But he was also there for one day to tape a show.
Yeah, but you can't compare what Rob Gronkowski is getting to be on this show with, say, you know, the Jersey Shore people got for episode one of their show when they were all nobodies.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's not the same thing. That's the low-budget reality show that you're talking about.
All right. Anyway, I still don't like the show. I didn't like the idea. I don't like him being on it.
Okay? I just like that they stole the idea. It's literally The Voice with, like, the same chairs, the same setup, the same everything.
I don't think it's a huge deal, but I'm not a huge fan of
and
it.
And
I'll never see it. I'll say that.
Oh, I will. I will definitely watch the one he's on because, my guess is this type of show, they're going to be hot bimbos with big boobs and, like, the contestants. And, B, he's going to be funny. He's always funny. So he's going to be worth watching.
All right. What
Comic and Sue will probably run up and hit the person.
what else do we have?
Rookie minicamp starts tomorrow.
See, all the players flying in today. They've been tweeting about it.
Okay.
We've gotten tweets from Chandler Jones and Alfonso Denard and Jeremy Ebert and who else?
Bill Siskel.
That is a new thing.
Bill Siskel.
I mean, this whole social thing is new enough that we literally remember when it did not exist. You would not have that interaction in knowing the thoughts of a guy as he's on his way to his first minicamp in the NFL.
Plus, beyond that, Chandler Jones is ripping Hightower for not tweeting enough. How do you expect him to go buy your jersey if you don't tweet more and stuff? Like, it's unfolding right out there.
You expect him to buy your jersey when you play well. Yes. That's how.
And that's...
So explain Danny Woodhead. No, I didn't say that.
He played well.
He played well.
He did, yeah.
And I can explain other things, too, if you need me to.
Please don't.
Yeah. Is he on the roster bubble? I brought that up last week because I think there's a chance, but I saw more people
questioning. I think right at this moment, no, but he could be by the time camp starts.
Would he be a good, you know, James Sanders candidate for you? Didn't think he was
going to
get cut, and then, Danny Woodhead got cut.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Probably because he doesn't make enough money, but.
And just to defend Andy a little bit, I think that you're putting this out there as sort of a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we call them surprise cuts.
Right.
Because I know what happens on these things. They sort of...
You said Danny Woodhead was getting cut.
No, it goes viral. I mean, all of a sudden, people are like, Hart says Woodhead's going to get cut. Well, no, he didn't.
Right. It would be a surprise if he did, but... Right.
And even if he's cut, it doesn't mean I agree with it. I still don't agree with the James Sanders surprise cut.
Right.
It was the bad move.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. A lot of emails from Tuesday's show regarding the whole 300 talk. We won't get into it again, but
but you got to get those emails.
Get the emails in.
Come on.
Oh, I don't think I have them, but
it's going to be
hard. Lying yet?
I just wanted to mention it because it was good, swift, nimble movement by Kevin to get that open made based on Tuesday's show,
based on a funny skit.
Yeah.
And one of our listeners sent that in, and I watched it in Paul's office, and it's very funny.
Yeah.
It's not a gay movie, but I see what they were doing there.
So let's get to some of the other emails. Let's see. What do we got here?
Who are you most excited to see before we get to the emails?
On 300?
No. The answer to that, yes, might be telling. But, I mean, is there a... we talked about Chandler Jones just when he was in our studio talking to us down here. But is there anybody you just kind of want to see, quote unquote, how he fills out shorts and you know what he look or if Jeremy Ebert could possibly be scary fast because he runs a 4.340 or I don't know, is there anybody you're interested in seeing?
I think
it weekend?
All comes down to Tavon Wilson. Honestly.
He is fixated.
Oh, oh so if he's not good, you're going to be just like, you know.
In shorts against
right,
other rookies.
Lambasting the team.
No, yeah, he asked Sims who are you most throwing. Excited to see. I'm most excited to see this guy because they decided he was that good that he needed to be
know,
drafted.
But you won't
in the
know that
round.
Until the season.
Yeah,
starts.
And he's just going to be run of the mill.
Oh, you mean just for this weekend?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're getting our first view of these guys on a football field, not a contact football field, but a first view. You know, Chad Jackson. Is somebody going to wow me? And you'll be like, "Ooh, that guy can play."
Yeah, maybe it's the front. It's the front ledge.
Hightower. For all I know, I'm going to say
I want to see him move.
Son of a bitch, he's not as fast as I thought he was going
to
be.
if you're looking for one specific thing that I could possibly ascertain this weekend, that would be it.
Well, Brandon
I want to
Lloyd
see him move.
Here?
No,
no.
Is Brandon Lloyd a rookie?
Robert Gallery's here.
He's not going to be out there for rookie minicamp.
Why not?
They have had guys out there in the past.
Robert Gallery and Brandon Lloyd aren't going to be there, though.
Robert Gallery's
all right, made you know what? You
Fred,
know what?
Fred Taylor was.
Fred, let me immediately retract my snarkiness.
That's what I was going with. There
let me immediately retract it, because you never know who's going to be out there.
Right.
But I'd be very surprised if Robert Gallery and Brandon Lloyd
So we're just talking about undrafted free agents and rookies, right?
For the most part,
rookie free agents.
Rookie free agents.
Right. So who am I most interested in seeing? It's not Hightower and Chandler Jones. It really isn't.
To me, it's Hightower because I want to do exactly what Andy said. I want to see him move. He's 270 pounds. Does he move like everybody says, sideline to sideline, capable of doing all these different things? I want to see him move. And that's, I mean, let's face it, you're not going to see him in pads. You're not going to see him hit. You're not going to see the total package here. You got to pick something
what about
small.
Beckett? See how he moves.
I think all those guys are, for movement are worth watching.
Ebert's speed is another one, too, like you said.
Are you going to get movement?
Jones, Beckett, Hightower. You know, it's all versatility. But how quick are they? Do they look athletic? What upside do they have?
Yeah,
Ebner, if he remembers to put his helmet on, or if he just runs down with his locks.
How
flowing.
Funny would that be?
Ebert. Anytime I read a guy has a 4.3 40, I want to see him run. I want to see.
Well, especially if they do any kickoff and special teams, what's his acceleration like?
I want to see how fast.
Yeah.
So he would be in that mix for me.
All right. Jonathan writes in, I know this is a stretch to compare these two players for now, but the measurements of Vereen are about the same as Ray Rice. I don't watch a lot of Ravens games except the ones where we beat them, but I believe Rice is on the field for almost every down. So before we hand over the starting job to Ridley, I think Vereen should be in the equation. We really have little to judge by. Hopefully he develops into more than just a Kevin Falk third down back. Having a Ray Rice possible stretch to compare would make us scary to defend against. And by the way, I do love Falk, and he's had a great career. Well, think about Ray Rice. He's shorter, right? But his thighs are huge.
No, but
measurements were the same, so I don't know if he's shorter. Right.
The larger point to me would be that Vereen, he doesn't want to rule Vereen out as more than just a third down scat back.
Right.
And I think he's right. I think there's a possibility that he could be more than that. And he's not saying he's Ray Rice.
He's been that, right? I mean, Ray Rice Graziano ran him into the ground.
Yeah. He was an every down guy in college, and Vereen wasn't.
So
absolutely right.
That's a difference. Along with, they may be the same height
body
and weight,
type, but they're different.
They're different.
Different players.
Rice is thicker.
Now,
however that works out or equates to.
Paul, you think they shouldn't rule him out because of necessity or because of his ability to do the job? Well, I know you're eating now, but that's that's kind of the question that I would have with regard to that.
Both. I think
you
that,
think he can do it.
I think he. I don't think he's just a third down back in like Woodhead. I wouldn't really want Woodhead getting many carries that aren't in spread formations. I think Vereen could get out there on first down and carry the ball between the tackles. Not necessarily because we're spreading them out and they think we're going to run like we do with Woodhead.
In a run formation, you said.
Now, I don't want to give. I think Andy's right. I don't want to give Shane Vereen 20 carries a game either. I don't think that's his style, but I think that he has. I remember watching in college, and I was impressed with his college tape because I thought he was more than that. I thought that he had some carries that showed you he could, he had some rocks in his pockets. He could move the pile a little bit and go inside and not necessarily just go down when that first guy hits him, you know, or just make a guy miss. That's generally what those scat backs do. They avoid contact and they slither through holes. I thought he showed some power, but Andy's right. Ray Rice to me, and I know that the email is not calling him Ray Rice, so this is not meant to attack the
email.
No,
I'm not talking talent-wise. I'm talking
Ray Rice is a power
size.
Runner.
Yeah.
Ray Rice is a power back despite his size. Like, he runs with power.
Maurice Jones-Drew might weigh the
absolute
same amount.
Same
but
thing.
It's a different distribution or something that creates a different
and
style.
And I don't think Shane Vereen, is that. But those guys are so thick.
Yeah.
And they're so powerful. I don't think Vereen has that in him.
No.
Now, I do think that he can be more than just a third down back.
Yes. I would agree. Second down too.
Eric's tour guide for Paris writes in, I would like to welcome Robert Gallery to the fold, and I promise you the Patriots will change your history of winning record teams. So
Brady stay healthy. Brady stay healthy.
Sure. Jay writes in.
Wasn't there an Eric-related thing there?
No, but he never gives his name, this guy. So I just know him from his email address, and that's the guy that gives Eric all the tips for France.
Well, there is he the guy that had the email I saw come in early about you need to buy the museum pass?
No, that's a different one. I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different guy. Jay wants to know, did Mike Lombardi draft Robert Gallery? Was he the Raiders GM at
2004?
The time? I don't know.
I don't remember one.
And he also says Art Shell screwed him up big time.
I've seen that in some places.
So
I still, though, I mean, I understand coaching's a huge deal, but he was supposed to be, like, the greatest ever.
Oh, I know.
And what did Art Shell know
chip.
About playing tackle?
Right. And usually when they tag these blue-chip linemen, they do end up becoming what they say they are. You know, Orlando Pace, Jonathan Ogden.
I think
that Fred is falling into a absolute stereotype that offensive linemen don't bust.
You just forget
it's
about
safe.
It.
It's safe.
Jason Smith. I told you he was going to suck, and he sucked. But everybody, he was drafted 2 overall or 3 overall
Andre
or 4
Smith.
Overall. Yeah, but at least he had baggage. Jason Smith was a safe, great pick.
I don't
except
remember
he can't play.
Baylor,
exactly.
That's part
back
of it.
Baylor,
KP.
Right?
KP.
He's
think
really
they bust.
Bad.
But the difference is, from what I've read, Robert Gallery was getting perfect scouting grades of 9. I mean, people were literally thinking he was perfect. There was no flaw. There was no 8.7s or whatever. So I find it hard to just say, well, you got a bad coach. You screwed him up.
Yeah, I think you can bust out at any position, and it happens. These things happen.
Lombardi was the GM of the Oakland Raiders. Interesting. I wonder he doesn't have a logo on his chest anymore. Although, to be fair, I'm pretty sure he was thinking he was making a great pick. Bill probably told him, you're making a great pick.
Everybody else thought he was making a great pick, too. I mean, you know, including Bill Belichick.
Do I have notes from back then? I got to go check my notes.
Let's see.
I didn't notice short arms when he was in here, either. I read somewhere that he has short arms.
Yeah, I was.
He's got big hands, I'll tell you that much.
Huge. I didn't notice the arms, but I don't know if I would be able to look at a guy and say,
he
has short arms.
Out.
But we were joking about it before, Freddie, when we were waiting for him. One of the things that we had read about short arms, and Eric was laughing, saying, maybe he'll just reach across and punch Andy from where he is. How short are my arms now?
Right. Well, speaking of short or long arms, remember when we did our picture with Chandler Jones? He was like 2 people away from me, and all of a sudden I felt this hand on the other side of my shoulder. And it's like, wow, this guy has long arms. Sam writes in, thanks for the show. Whether it's imagining what Eric will do or won't do in Paris or the true intention of a movie like 300, one can forget the outcome of February's game thanks to truly unscripted radio. So you're welcome. That's Sam in Chicago. And along the same lines, Michelle Stockholm from Sweden says,
such an idiot.
Leave it to you guys to divert from the Adai question to the Brady/Welker picture to the men in the Spartan era and the ultimate discussion if they're gay or not. As per usual, I was sweating while listening to the podcast and, of course,
idiot.
Laughing.
We make women wet.
Your show is such a win-win concept. You get to hear from some of the players, you get all the latest news on the Patriots, and you get to laugh out loud several times, even when you yell at each other and I go slightly deaf. It's hard to adjust the volume while running on the treadmill. It's still the best podcast. I'll buy you freaks lunch if you let me know how.
Did you see her title, by the way?
No.
Are you sure you want to give that out? Maybe she doesn't want it to be
known.
Well,
she's got it in the email.
In the email.
Yeah, Kevin, get on that.
Yeah, she's a casting director. So I was thinking maybe we could get in some Swedish films. What?
Okay.
By the way, Eric's
Fred wouldn't do it because it's not worth his while.
I immediately think porn. Swedish films.
Right.
They don't make normal films in
actually,
Sweden?
If you think of Ingmar Bergman, they're anything but porn. They're very...
They're butt porn?
Anything.
Anything goes butt porn.
In the butt. In the butt what?
Brian Murphy from Essex, Vermont is the name of Eric's tour guide. He wants us to know.
A.K.A. boyfriend.
So...
He's such an...
Why do you have to go there?
You're such an ass.
Right.
You really are.
You should get the movie pass thing, though. I mean, the museum pass.
Why are you always thinking of ass?
He hasn't read that email yet, though.
Stripper says that Ray Rice and Shane Vereen are not close. Rice is 5'8 and 212 pounds, and Vereen is 5'9, 205. So, Rice is an inch smaller heavier.
That's not close?
Well, no, it is close. You're right. But if you're looking for exact
it's very close.
Yeah. Let's see. Wyatt, our favorite cowboy from Alaska, writes in, when Brady took a cut in salary this season, he couldn't afford to get his old haircut. And is there a way to trade our wide receiver for draft picks to a team like the Rams, who have no wide receivers right now? Trade Stallworth and Gonzalez for a third-round pick or any other wide receiver, maybe Welker for a second. Why are you doing that now? The time to do that was a couple weeks ago, right?
No, the time for them to sign them was a few weeks ago. And save that email. I might be able to buy into it if one of those guys has a tremendous preseason and is going to get cut.
You're not getting a third-round pick for either one of those guys.
No, and you're not even getting a third-round pick then. But save those emails. That's not a stupid idea if... They all have all these guys somehow play great in the preseason. You might be able to get a sixth for Anthony Gonzalez or something at the end of camp rather than just flat out cutting him.
And they don't have some of those picks for next year. They only have five picks right now. They've lost a couple with Haynesworth and Ocho trades from last year.
Right.
So Andy's right. We've seen that a lot with offensive linemen. They've had some, you know, backup offensive lineman types that they've traded around, you know, early August, middle of August.
Brandon Gorin.
And they end up getting, you know, either conditional picks or sixth or seventh rounders. And before you just dismiss those, clearly Belichick values them because he went to great lengths this year to recoup some of the ones that he lost. So that's a possibility. If you can get Gonzalez and Stallworth and all these guys out there healthy, Edelman, you know, who knows who's going to end up making the team.
Yeah.
If you can get them all healthy out in the field and maybe have a little production during preseason, maybe you can peddle one of them.
And wait and see what happens with Welker's situation, too.
Yep.
You're ready to give away all these players, and then you know what happens if he decides he wants to play hardball and doesn't want to sign?
Well, that guy wanted to trade Welker.
I know. But
he's one of them, yeah. Jeff, and, as a Patriots fan living in Hokkaido, I assume that's Japan. Maybe?
Okay, he said he assumed.
Of course, that's Japan.
Right, Japan. Hey, guys, especially Eric. Love the show. Can't thank you guys enough for the draft coverage. My family and I have been Patriots fan for a long time. Ron Burton was best man at my parents' wedding. And my dad and I spent many a Sunday watching Patriots games. I say all that to say this. I truly hope the Patriots fans appreciate how incredibly fortunate we are. Between Mr. Kraft, Coach Belichick, and Tom Brady, we have one of the most unusual combinations of talent and quality that any sports organization could ask for. Daniel Fell's comments during your interview simply reinforce how things in Foxborough are quantifiably different from many other NFL teams. Thank you guys and Fred for making it that much more enjoyable. Oh, almost forgot about my tip for Eric. If you haven't gotten one yet, Eric, pick up the Paris Museum Pass. You may not want to spend all your time in museums, or you may. Lots of cute art students, but the pass gives you the flexibility to just duck in for a short time in places you come across without having to pay the full admission or waiting in line when things are crowded. It's cheaper, too, if you plan on hitting more than one or two of the main attractions.
I have one already. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
The Paris Museum Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it online?
It came with the tour package.
Oh, good. So. Okay. My question, I've seen tongue-in-cheek suggestions that the NFL do everything from eliminating kickoffs to having players go both ways to returning to soft-sided helmets in an attempt to address the growing concerns about the cumulative effects of concussions.
Of burping on air.
Putting litigation issues aside temporarily, if you guys were to speculate, what do you think will be the most likely changes that we'll see in the pro game over the next 5 to 10 years? It's a good question, and that reminds me of something I wanted to bring up, but go ahead.
Well, before we answer the question, I just want to reiterate the email and just say how lucky we are to have the great ownership, you know, and the other stuff. But really, the ownership.
I agree. It all trickles down.
I don't want to speak for Andy and Eric, Matt, Kevin, behind the glass, but the great ownership here, just want to reiterate that. Go ahead. Go ahead,
I'm
Andy.
With Robert. changes. This is a tough question. There's going to be some. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know if they'll be visual. For all I know, they'll be equipment-based. I mean, I think they're striving more and more to get helmets that do more.
Or they could be penalty-based.
I think it's going to be the other way.
Punishment-based.
Instead of the helmets will get better. I think there'll be breakthroughs there. But I think it's the way that the teams interact with the players on the sideline during games and with the medical staff. That's going to be the biggest change.
No, see, I think that's already started. They already have the independent neurologist and all that. I think you will see significant rules changes. I'm just not sure what they'll be and whether I actually think they'll have much of an impact.
I think fines could be one of them. You know, penalties could be the way they penalize a guy.
I think they've done a lot right now, and they've moved very fast because, you know, I know he said put litigation aside temporarily, but that's part of it. They're doing everything they can think of in the name of safety that won't, you know, destroy the game.
Right.
So I think that you're seeing the big moves now. 5 years from now, it might be just smaller things. Actually, you're seeing the big things now.
The elimination of kickoffs to me is a big change.
Oh, that would be huge. Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that they've kind of taken a step in that direction or even considered it, to me, tells me that there probably are other ones they've bandied about. I saw one yesterday that I thought was interesting. The theory that allowing less contact on receivers creates bigger hits. Because you're not allowed to touch them, so then you just try to blow them up and knock the ball out. If you allowed them to have contact all the way down the field, maybe then that would actually create less big hits and those types of things.
I saw that today, too. But my first thought was that will change completely the effect that they wanted to have with high-scoring games and those kind of things.
Well, if we put safety ahead of high-scoring game, then...
You're right, but I'm just saying, Goodell has often said, you know, he wants it to be an entertaining league, high-scoring.
But he's covering his ass now, and safety surpassed money safety has become money.
Right.
That was about money until safety became money. Now safety, which equals money, is above points.
His
priorities
have changed.
I agree with you that it's...
Well, no, his priorities have always been the same, money.
I agree with you about the – I think it's interesting. That email, I did read that about the – I'm not sure it's a cause and effect thing.
I don't know.
I'm not sure it would work the way that emailer intends it or intended it. But it was definitely like a pause for thought. Like, you know, could you do something maybe with the rules and what you let them get away with? But I don't think that's why they go for those shots. I think they went for those – I mean, first of all, that rule was put in place in 1978.
Right.
It's not a new thing.
No, I know, and – guys have been injured, you know, these pits have been piling up and things of that nature.
I do know that. I understand that. I'm just saying I think the way that the game might change, and this is what you have to hope, but I just think it has to be a generational kind of thing where the kids that start playing football no longer look at that as the goal. You know, like, you know, blowing guys up hitting recklessly. Because I'm not
playing.
Because I think you're right.
They'll stop playing.
You can't take kickoffs away. I'm 100% with Andy on that. I think that's a major, major change of the game. And if you want to do that, you can do it. But I think you're hurting yourself. And I think, you know, the soft helmet. I'm not sure that is where you want to go either.
No.
No, I don't. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be. But I don't necessarily see how that fixes the problem either. But I do think if you can somehow get the players out of the mentality of trying to not just make a play, but to just, you know, make that kill shot. And
I think they'll stop playing. I would. I played the game of football because I liked hitting. And as a defensive player...
I'm not telling you to stop hitting them.
But you are. You're saying I wanted to hit the person as hard as I possibly could.
I know, but maybe make sure that the first thing that comes in contact is not your head.
No,
it's your shoulders.
That's an issue. That's already illegal. It's been illegal forever.
Yeah,
talking about taking intense physicality out of the game. And if
I don't want, well,
to, I don't want to, I don't want to do that. I think you and I have a different opinion of it.
You've already taken away, you know, they joke, you know, yeah, we'd love to be on offense and score touchdowns, but that's not what we do. Well, what you do on defense is hit people. That's what you do.
And
that's
how you have fun. But I don't want to take that away.
But you just said take the physicality, you know, take the big blow up hits out of the game.
The kill shot. The guy launching himself across the field, you know, but receiver when
that's already been taken out. They've already gone the route of you
can't
launch.
It's been taken out of the rules.
That has been illegal,
Andy,
forever.
But it still happens just as often. Do you agree?
Well, no, I don't actually.
You don't think
anymore.
That happens a lot?
I think last year they went a long way towards taking it out. I think within a couple of years they can easily go a long
way
towards
taking
it
out. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I think is the change that needs to happen.
Oh, well, that's
so you don't see them anymore.
That's just enforcing the rules.
But that's what the guy's asking. 5 years down the line.
That's just enforcing. Well, no, I think he's asking for changes. What is going to change?
Well, I don't think anything is going to change.
Oh, I do. And I think one,
unless you do your thing and you're completely changing the game itself.
What do you mean? What's
like
my thing?
Your kickoff thing and, you know,
oh,
it's not
football
anymore.
Oh, I think there will be rules that
it could be a different sport.
Say, wow.
It could be a different
you're
sport.
Say, well, the kickoff to me doesn't change the sport. It eliminates an aspect of the sport.
What if you don't wear helmets on kickoffs?
What?
What if you don't wear helmets on kickoffs?
No.
No?
Has anybody died on the field recently? Because that's what people forget. When they used to wear leather helmets, people died on the field. Died. Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. No one's died on the field recently. There's been paralysis. There's been hits that caused them to kill themselves 20 years later. No one has died on an NFL field lately. They used to die when Roosevelt or whoever those presidents.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. So well, this leather helmet solution is not quite the solution. It's if 10 people died this year and in the NFL, you don't think that would be worse than some people getting concussions?
Did they die from head injury?
They died on the football field. I don't know what they died from, but everybody wants to go back to the...
It was a lot of different things.
What?
I mean... A lot. Some people. One guy had a heart attack. I remember that. I mean, that has nothing to do with
you
know, a head injury.
That?
You weren't around. You couldn't possibly remember.
No, he was around.
He was around back then.
Yeah, I was actually.
He's always been round.
No, I mean the whole thing with Teddy Roosevelt. We can get into that, but that was a lot of that had to do with you know biting and kicking and back then you weren't down
that.
Until like five guys were on top of you. It wasn't
right.
Like it, you know, and people were punching and the game was just getting savage. So Teddy Roosevelt stepped in. And
but I'm not sure they died from biting or punching.
They died because the...
I'll do a little research.
The helmet.
I'll do a little research.
That's why the helmet evolved.
Yes. So it's not quite the... Everybody thinks it's the easy solution. Take off the helmets because they use them as weapons and they won't launch them. Well, yeah, they used to die. So it's not quite the solution you want. So I
definitely think the helmet gets a bad rap.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is they've now developed these helmets that monitor the hits. And if they can somehow quantify hits, how many, the severity, then that'll become the norm. And when you reach a certain level, you're out of the game if you want to go that route.
But, you know, according to, I forget the player, he was saying that he estimates that he had or somebody had maybe, say, 1,500.
Oh, yeah, it was Gary teammate. Plummer.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, the NFL might be scared about monitoring these hits because it might be revealed that these guys are having one or two per game.
Well, Fred, you have to find out the truth. If you really want to know, you have to find out the truth.
To which I'd also add steroids.
I was just going to say the HGH / steroids.
They definitely don't want to know the truth about steroids.
But you have to.
The blind eye is running the show.
If you want to help these, if you really want to help these players and help the game, you need to find out the truth and expose it.
But also, medicine has to catch up because medicine isn't to the point where they can say, "Oh, that was a concussion. That could be damaging. That's not a concussion. Those three hits equal a concussion, which would have been one hit." You know, that's they don't know what they're talking about.
Let's just say that,
or at least they're not on the same page.
Let's just say, in the pursuit of truth,
it's not a consensus proven fact.
Well, let's just say, in the pursuit of truth, okay, and transparency. They reveal all these things, and they do it the right way. The study's the right way. And they do find out that the average player gets 2 to 3 concussions per game. Then what?
Then it's not that big of a deal because not in large numbers, not a lot of these guys are killing themselves. Not a lot. I mean, there's plenty of people that play for a long time who are fine. Don't tell me Andre Tippett didn't have many concussions.
Right.
And from now maybe people thought Seau was fine, but from my viewpoint, dealing with him on a daily basis, Andre Tippett's fine.
He seems fine, yeah.
Correct? I mean, he's a normal citizen, a normal father, you know,
still
a
working in the
here.
Job,
right?
Yeah.
But see, the problem with that, and this will get to, I was listening to Sirius yesterday, the Tim Ryan and Pat Kerwin show, and they had Mecklenburg on the phone. Mm-hmm. Mecklenburg,
and
is
you one, were giddy because that's your.
Well,
guy,
I
right?
was, but but Mecklenburg is one of the guys on the suit. He's one of the 1,500 guys.
So I think it's up to 1,800 now.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he's one of them, and he's also I think he's got a law degree, and he was a players rep, so he's one of the guys that
he's clued in.
Yeah.
How's
yes.
he doing financially?
He's doing very well, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Because I need to know that about these people.
But now this gets to my point. Tim Ryan has been vocal that he thinks a lot of this is the money grab.
Me too.
You know, lawyers and players just looking for a payday. They didn't manage their money well, blah, blah, blah. And Tim Ryan was up front of that. You know, he up front with that. He asked Mecklenburg about, you know, what's the motivation? Why? What do you want out of this? And Mecklenburg, you know, basically said, you know, for him, it's not about the money. You know, he says when I go, I'm on the road a lot. I do a lot of speaking engagements and stuff. First thing I do is I take a picture of my room number because I can't remember it. When I go to the airport, I always park in the same spot because I'll forget where I park. I do these little things. I manage it, but that's my life now. Mm-hmm. Is my short-term memory is just shot.
Wow.
And he goes, and I know there's a lot of guys like that. And the issue isn't, oh, you know, we want money. The issue is they lie to us.
What I think is key is the idea that they lied to us we need to make sure they don't lie to us again and they actually are
right.
doing what they can do.
Right.
That I think is a legitimate for guys even that don't have issues. Well, I'm signing on to this to
he
bring
said
some power.
The only way you get the NFL to move on anything is to threaten to sue them because
right.
that's the only way they'll do anything.
Right.
That's his thing. Now I know
I'm sort of conflicted because of that and I think Andy is too. I do think the NFL has done so many things wrong that they deserve to have these lawsuits piled against them, and you're right. The
right.
only time the NFL acts is when they get sued, and they consistently lose. By the way,
right.
So there's got to be some basis for that. But the other side of me, I do think there's a lot of money grabbing going on.
I do
with some of these things, and I do think some of these issues are sort of overblown. I mean, I'm not saying Carl Mecklenburg or anybody else specifically, but I don't think that all of these guys are dealing with football. I'll tell you one thing. We go on the road, you know, and Andy and I didn't travel this year, but we've gone for, you know, 12 years. I forget my room number all the time. All the time.
Right.
Because we're in a different hotel 10 weeks in a 20-week span. Right? 10 out of 20 weeks, we're in a different hotel.
Right.
I constantly forget my hotel
right.
room number.
And
I constantly forget where I'm parked when I come to work every day.
Right.
I don't know exactly where I park.
So
I don't think just to blame it all on the NFL
and
is fair.
Or concussions. But, you know, so then this gets back to, okay, so now once we find out that the average player does have 2 to 3, you know, concussions per game, you know, what do we do? And here's the dilemma is, yeah.
But we have to find out. You need to clarify what a concussion is and what the ramifications
I know
of that
are.
I guess
that's my point.
This is what I'm going to get to. So, okay, so we've established that these happen, that these traumatic effects to the head happen per game. We haven't established yet what that connection is to long-term, you know, CTE and all that stuff. But the NFL will be forced to take the precaution and
right.
assume the worst.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to be set up again. So it's going to be a real difficult situation down the road.
But
you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
It's like what Paul says. Unfortunately, it may have to go the wrong way. Just like he was talking about off the air, baseball players were absolutely servants to the owners for decades and decades.
You know, for 80 years, the
and now
owners
it swung
just
the other way.
They literally owned them.
Now you
right.
have
and
these
no
Jags with 10-year, $120 million contracts. It went too far the other way
right.
where the players have too much.
Right.
And this may have to go that way where any little thing, you're out.
And that sucks.
Right.
I mean,
but the problem to me in that area is science. The science is not to the point where you can definitive. They know concussions cause problems, but
yes.
they don't know specifically which ones,
right.
how many,
and they're going to have
severe,
to err
how,
on the
how
side
severe
of caution.
Have to be.
The biggest science right.
right
now is that the big hits aren't as bad as the lots of littles. That is actually far worse, is one of the theories. If that's true, well, now your biggest issue to me is offensive line, where they just pop up and bang heads.
Great point, Andy.
70 times a game.
All
it's
great.
Just taps.
All
but
day.
It's happening. So now
yeah.
do you eliminate offensive line play? Do you go back to it, you know,
right.
everything has to be at arm's length or
right.
the old forearm blocking. So
and the mentality.
The issue right now, everybody wants to make it so simple. It isn't simple.
It's very complicated.
It's very complex. And to me, the first thing that needs to be solved is the medical end. We need to be able to say X, Y,
right.
and Z.
But in the meantime, they're going to have to air
in the meantime. Yeah. You signed up to play football. You knew you could get hurt. You knew you could do long-term
damage.
That's
what I
say.
That's what, but.
And that's what most say. Jerry Rice, I heard him say it yesterday. Now he's lucky because he's saying it of theoretically, again, we shouldn't assume after the Seau thing. I don't think you assume anybody left the game mentally stable, but Jerry Rice looks to be healthy, active, health, you know, no head issues. And he said, you know, going in, it's dangerous. It's why all these guys say, my mom initially didn't want me to play football.
Sure.
But she knew how much I loved it, so she let me play football. Everybody knew there was a risk.
Right.
You have a helmet on. You're banging heads. People get hurt. It's bad.
And that's going to, I think that's going to be what's going to have to happen. There's going to have to be strongly worded language that when you come into this league, and it's going to have to be approved by the Players Association and by the league, that a player signs it saying, I am fully aware of the risks, and this is separate from the contract that they signed with the team. This is an overall waiver.
But that's irrelevant at that point almost because
it's
about
to start
at peewee. Yeah. No. If you don't have peewee high school and college football, then you don't need your waiver because there's nobody coming through the pipeline to play in the NFL.
But
so the waivers or whatever has to be at the youth and,
the very,
and college
very
level.
Beginnings.
They might even already have that at youth, right, Paul? You sign
that
a waiver?
You sign a waiver for what?
To play Pop Warner?
Well,
I'm
sure
you signed something, but I don't
think
it's that.
There's insurance involved, but it's not like I'm not going to sue. I mean, those youth organizations get sued all the time.
Well,
in fact,
I think any
Little
kid
League
that,
is going
you know,
through a suit
is
right
out
now.
On his feet and the coach puts him back in the game, there is a basis for a lawsuit there.
That,
I think there
that's
should
what
be.
I'm saying. You,
yeah.
But you sign waivers and stuff, but you still there's still
right.
lawsuits all the
right.
time because it's what I'm saying. It's treatment. Like if you can have your strongly worded letter like like in Titanic, you know, but if you go out if it's Colt McCoy, let's say Colt McCoy signed that letter last year and then he goes to the sideline after he gets knocked loopy by James Harrison and then he's back out there. Don't tell me that he wasn't mistreated. And this is under the current neurological baseline studies that they have to have. And they still put him back out there because they said something like they were dealing with another, the neurologist was dealing with another guy. Now, I'm not saying that Cleveland
did it on
purpose.
But that was a specific example, and that actually led to the independent neurologist.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is, what's to prevent it from happening again? So don't tell me Colt McCoy doesn't have the basis of a lawsuit, even if he signed your waiver.
Plus, we all know waivers aren't worth the paper they're written on.
Of course they're not.
But I
totally agree with you guys. And Andy, I think your point about the offensive line was a great one.
Maybe.
You know,
I don't know.
Your little hits. And you guys are right. It's such a complex issue. And the problem is, usually in these kinds of things, you rely on experts that can sort of educate everybody. They can educate us. Well, right now, Andy's point, the medical, it's not there. The experts don't know much as I think we need them to know.
When I was in fifth or sixth grade, I told you guys, I smashed my head so hard in the playground. I went up for a ball, got Michael Massidi took my feet from under me, and I came down head first on the tar and literally split my head open, blood everywhere. You know, saw the stars, went dark. I just remember them helping me up, walking me to the nurse's office, blood all over my shirt.
And you're probably at some nurse who had no idea how to treat you.
Well, the word concussion
I was
didn't
in fifth or sixth grade, and maybe somebody used the word concussion over that day. I don't remember it. I remember.
Interesting.
Pretty sure he had a concussion.
I remember them telling me that it was bleeding so much because head wounds bleed a lot and all that stuff. You know, and I missed the next day of school, but I was back in school 2 days later, and I don't remember ever anyone saying, you got a concussion.
Well, in his defense, it was also 87 years ago.
Right? Well, it was a long time ago, but.
With the little black bag.
I love that he throws the kid's name out there, though, too.
Oh, sure.
That's so much like me. Like, I would remember exactly
that.
Who it was. It'd be in my book. I remember exactly who the guy was.
He wrote me this letter afterwards saying, you know, he was sorry and all this. I still have the bump on my head from this injury. I mean, there's no doubt I had a concussion.
Right.
You know?
But you don't know if it's had any effect.
Right.
It may.
I think it does.
You
I can't remember your
all
name.
The right.
I can't remember people's names. I never have been able
But maybe
to.
You're just an idiot.
I could be.
And I'm being dead serious with that.
I know.
And maybe Carl Mecklenburg is just an idiot. Maybe he would have never been able to remember his room.
Ronald Reagan had dementia, but I don't think he got it from football. He had Alzheimer's, you know?
He may have.
He may have
been from football.
Have you seen that movie?
The Gipper?
May have gotten it from football.
Yeah.
Because he was back in the leather or no helmet.
Right. Lucky he lived.
It's hard.
But you guys are so right. It's such a complex issue with so many different layers.
But it's coming to a head before it should, I think.
Because
even though
no
pun intended.
And it's because of the
no pun intended.
Okay. It's because of the lawsuit.
Right.
Coming
but that's
to a
what
head
I mean.
Too quickly.
It's like legally they're going to have to rule on something that they
and
don't
gambling.
Necessarily have
no, I'm
the.
Only kidding.
it's all about gambling.
It's actually abortion.
Right. Robin Marble says, "Hey guys, in La Petite Arrogante."
That's you, Eric.
Last show
oh,
was
good. I had no idea that's what he was talking
just
about.
Just so you know, he rolled his eyes at you.
Last show was amazing. To recap, Andy totally failed to take advantage of Daniel Fell's jerk chicken comment or Eric's heavy package comment and will defend to the death a movie about 300 half-naked, glistening, oil-shaved guys. Don't worry, Andy. You're still my favorite big fruitcake. So,
yeah.
All right, that's a good time, I think.
And he also loved wrestling in the day.
Right. Let's take a quick break. It's 1:05. We'll be right back with more football and other talk.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Right, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
You got to make it.
But you didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Good show today. Talked to Robert Gallery, top of the show. We're talking about the whole concussion thing now, and one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, earlier, a few months back, I forget who we were talking to, one of the players. It might have been, what's his name, Anthony Gonzalez. But we were talking about, do you think that there might be a faction growing within the locker room between guys who are, you know, not that mad about bounties and those that were, because, you know, guys are speaking out. I think the same thing might be developing with this whole concussion thing. That, you know, because you're hearing more and more guys speaking out, like, yes, the commissioner needs to do what he's doing. It's all good, blah, blah, blah. And then you hear the guys are saying, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know what football's all about.
Yeah.
You wonder, like, if you're getting the camps are forming on right. either side of this issue.
Yes, yeah,
they are.
I think so. Yeah.
And what effect do you think that might have?
On the field?
It's a detriment to
the
advancement
room.
Of the cause. I mean, in the locker room, the football culture is holding itself back from if you believe it needs to advance to the point where there's more, I got dinged, I can't go back in type of discussion.
Right.
Because there's going to be guys that will look down upon him and probably coaches that will look down upon him for, well, he seems to be fine to me, but he's going to sit out. What a pansy. We got to find somebody else.
Right.
He's Patrick Pass.
How about the potential for
Beckett.
Some
yeah.
static between Roddy White and yep. a Mike Wright? You know, who dealt with this and, you know, ultimately mm-hmm. was forced to retire. If they were teammates, Roddy White today was pretty outspoken, saying these guys are hurting the game.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know that
causes some static in a locker room.
Is the example,
but you know what I'm saying?
I guy
who it obviously means a lot to, and
no,
a guy
but I think Mike Wright is the
off.
Extreme. I don't think there's anybody on the planet who would question whether Mike Wright had
right.
a head injury that is not only causing him major issues now, but could be a long term issue.
Roddy White,
mine is just a guy who has a concussion and sits out 2 weeks, and everybody, well, he's back 2 weeks later. There were no long term. He could have played last week, like
right.
that kind of a guy, the questionable.
Right. And I think I would be one of those guys that would want to get back in.
Everybody would.
Well, everybody
yeah, that's
wants
why
to.
It's up yeah. to the medical to stop them.
Right.
Everybody wants to get back in. That's the culture
but
of football.
And that's every person in every
that,
walk of life.
You're not going to be, well, but
pretty
specifically
much.
In football and things of that nature where, you know, the whole thing about college coaches, high school, you got to push you beyond where you think your breaking point is. That's the mentality of football, and by allowing you to admit there's some sort of breaking point here, you feel like, well, now I'm not a football player. I can't play because
right.
that's not what it's about.
Right.
It's about pushing myself
suck
beyond
that.
Right. So that's why it's up to doctors, medical people, coaches, everybody involved from a management standpoint to deal with it. It can't be left up to the player because left up to the player, it won't work.
We'll get to the point we'll have an MRI machine on either side of the field. Guys will be taking MRIs
during
the game to see if they can go back.
You joke, but I think that is that earlier email. I think the advancements will be coming in technology, whether it's helmets that somehow sense stuff or sideline something that can do X, Y, and Z. I think there will be advancements there that will be in play within the next 10, 15 years.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline because on it is Phil from Beverly who took neuroscience courses.
You're supposed to say Phil in Beverly.
Oh, Phil, are you in Beverly?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, lucky Beverly.
Why are you talking to us then?
He's a neurological student.
Oh, sorry. You're a geek, huh?
Okay, so, first-time caller, obviously.
Okay.
This year I took a neuroscience class, and I was just listening to you guys on the radio, and I heard you guys talking about how the advancements aren't usually up to standard when you take for the NFL. I mean, it's going to be like a few years before we can actually get up to the like NFL standards because the field of neuroscience has just changed so much in the past 200 years. I mean, you don't think of like 10, 15 years ago, the word concussion wasn't as huge as it is now. Now it's just completely out there. So.
Right. No, there's no question that, and that needs to be the definitive. You have to have the definitive on the medical before all the other decisions can be made
legally, monetarily, rules-wise, equipment-wise, and until the medical comes up with some definitive facts or at least theories that are widely held consensus, I just don't understand how you can fix this problem. You don't know what the problem is.
I mean, yes, the problem is, or you can't tell the problem for, let's say, Colt McCoy when that hit. You don't know how it would be different for a different quarterback because the brain is so unique that if you look at your hand, you look at my hand, we both have five fingers, and I mean, it's not going to be that different, but if you look at each individual brain, it's so different that a huge hit on a quarterback or a wide receiver might be completely different for me than it is to you.
Right.
So,
And they could get to the point where you have to have, you know, part of physicals is brain scans pre, you know, to get a baseline, because that guy has this amount of distance between the wall and the water and the side of the head, whatever.
And you might have to do those earlier and earlier, because I think Mike Freeman from CBS said, you know, do that at the combine so that they have a baseline going into the NFL.
The kids have to have baseline tests now.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. They should have it earlier than that. You might have to do it if you sign up at high school level or college level.
You get back into money. Who's paying for, you know, 100 brain scans for some high school?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, now we can't afford football, so football's out the door. There's a lot of things that point
to
football. And that's not necessarily good for those of us that make our living in football and enjoy football.
Right. All right, Phil, anything else?
I'm just going to comment on one thing. So I'm in high school right now.
Yep.
And the concussion thing has got kind of crazy because it's not just for football. They do, like, the impact test, which is the baseline test.
Right.
It's sports like tennis and track, and I think that's kind of crazy. I mean, I don't think I'm going to get a concussion running track or playing tennis.
Have you ever played tennis against me? If you make a bad call, I'll smash you over the head with my racket.
And there's the concussion.
Or you could get hit with a shot put in track.
No, but I see what you're saying. It, but I think they don't want to have to differentiate, so they just
they just cover themselves.
Them.
CYA. Thanks for calling, Phil.
Yeah, keep up the good work, guys.
All right, Phil.
Look, always good to get new callers.
The only thing that bothers me about that is the slowness of that, too. I was in college in 96, and we had baseline testing.
Did you?
That's 16 years ago.
Yeah.
We did, I think I've told you guys this, we had to do, say the months backwards. You know, there was a whole, whatever it was, 20 questions, and they recorded your time and whatever it took, and that was your baseline. If there was an issue on the sideline, they would revisit it, and are you doing the thing? That was 16 years ago. It seems like somewhere there was a delay in there in the advancement. I mean, 16 years is a long time.
Well, there's no money in it, so there's no advancement. That's the thing.
But there is money in it.
No, you know what I mean. You know, if there was a drug that you could take to, you know, avert the side effects of concussion, then
maybe there is.
Yeah, well,
if it's all caused by, what is it, CTE?
Right.
Well, if there was something that made CTE go away, then that would work. But that's, I mean, that's the question. How far are we from the medical? Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? Are we 20 years?
It's just not enough people are getting concussions. If the same amount of people that wanted erections at age 60 got concussions, then there would be a drug for it.
And he's getting worked up and yelling and moving his collar.
It's all about money. Let's go to Adam.
You seem to know a lot about that.
Let's go to Adam in Alexandria, Virginia.
Jeez, he's in Alexandria. All these callers are having better
days
than
us. For?
He's in Alexandria and Virginia.
Oh! She's not anymore.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on with Eve?
Doing good. Hey, I love the show. Keep up the great work.
Okay.
And, thank you.
I just wanted to chime in on the player safety thing a little bit. I don't want to sound like one of those, you know, bitter people that's comparing apples to oranges, but, you know, I served in the military.
Thank you for your service.
I know I have a lot of friends who, you know, police officers, firefighters, people that take those kinds of jobs know what they're signing up for, just like that's how I feel it is with the players in the modern era anyway. I sympathize completely with the people from, you know, pre-free agency era. But, and going back to like what Andy was saying earlier, I don't know how much more you can really do.
Well, I think,
I mean, as it is, defense is becoming almost an afterthought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think what this suit is all about, Adam, it's think about it this way. You know what the risk you took in the military, and your friends knew what the risk they took when they signed up to be a firefighter. Let's say you're a firefighter and you got a concussion and you told your chief, chief, I've been having these headaches. I need a couple days off. And he said no. He wouldn't let you, you know.
Well, that's the people I think
that's the problem.
Those are the people that Adam sympathizes with, the people that were mistreated.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, and it's a fine line because there's certainly a lot of guys that are claiming they were mistreated that probably weren't.
Right. And that
but there's a lot that were mistreated.
Right.
So it's hard. It muddies the waters.
Yep. Go ahead, yeah. Adam. Sorry about that.
No, yeah. I mean, you have a point there, but I think in today's game, it's a lot more. There's a lot more being done. There's a lot more awareness. And I think they've already taken, I mean, I don't know the science behind it, but it seems like you guys were saying earlier, it's going to be really difficult to pinpoint what problems came from head injuries and what problems, you know, some people are already predisposed to having problems when they get older. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, right. And you're right. I think the NFL, and you're right, thanks for the call. They are doing good things right now, but I think this lawsuit's point is, would they have been doing those things if we didn't force them to do it with the threat of a lawsuit?
No.
And I think you're okay if at the time a person gets a concussion, he's treated well. If 30 years from then, the result of that concussion is dementia, well, okay. But like Adam said, he knew what he was getting into.
Right.
Well, and we did everything we could once he had a concussion.
But there are deeper levels than that. If Riddell comes to them and says, we have these helmets, they will prevent 57% more concussions from happening. Just so you know, they're five times as much as the other helmets. And the league goes, we'll stick with the regular helmets.
Right.
Now, did you do as much as you could?
Oh, that's a good point.
So, yeah, as we've said eight times already, there's a lot of layers to this.
No, right. But I think that you have to, and the NFL has to do that now. They don't really have much of a choice. So I think that's where you kind of cross. But you're right. I mean, it's such a complicated issue. I mean,
the problem is
no easy fix.
The league didn't have its players' health in its best interest for a while.
Yep.
So the trust is gone.
Right.
You can't assume they're going to in the future. Even though it's different leadership, different people, you already have that seed of doubt. They screwed us once. They could screw us again. We have to look out for ourselves.
Let's go to Vishal, who's in St.
Louis. Oh, no, St. Louis.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, in Louis. What are you, in 300?
Hey, guys, Vishal. I have a quick question. How's it going?
Great.
Good.
And I was looking at our schedule this upcoming season. I honestly don't think, you know, there's a team that can beat us.
I'm right with you. I'm right with you.
I'm being dead serious. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, so that's why we're laughing. Why we laugh.
And like Houston,
even Fred
sure,
kind of laughed.
But the rest, I think, are really, you know, like Baltimore. Everybody's a great defense, but I feel like they're old, and I don't, you know, what T. Sizzle out or whatever. You know, they're not going to be that great. I don't think, and I don't think there's a team that's going to beat us.
Okay. Well, there will be a team that we didn't expect that's a lot better than we thought they would. Every year there is.
But Houston's going to be good.
Houston's going to be good.
So right there,
Baltimore's going to be good.
Denver will be better than they were last year.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean that the Patriots are going to lose to those teams.
No,
I'm just saying
it's ridiculous to think they're going to go 19-0.
It's a fairly easy schedule.
Not again, but never happened.
But before a season even starts, especially this long before, to just say that, you know, there's nobody that can beat them. We don't even know who is on everybody's team yet.
But that's what fans should think.
I just saw it like 2 days ago, you know, because I was just wondering, because, you know, I've been listening to you guys forever, and like I was just wondering what the schedule was. I just looked at it like a couple days ago, and I just didn't see a team that I thought, you know, can like absolutely, you know, like play at our level. Our offense is great, and then I think like key additions to our defense.
Is there any team in the league that you think can play at the Patriots level?
No, I mean, just on our schedule.
No, but I mean, is there any other team in the league that's not on the schedule?
I think the Packers can compete with us.
Okay, that's it?
The Packers, and then I think the Saints can.
So the teams with the three worst defenses in the league can compete with each other. That's interesting.
Did you think the Giants could compete with them?
No. I think if we had
but they lost to them twice.
Gronkowski in the Super Bowl, we should have won.
We did have him.
We should have won.
We did have him.
Well,
he wasn't 100%.
I agree with Vishal there.
You ever been called a homer?
Vishal.
I have.
Yeah. I don't believe it. You make Fred look unbiased.
I feel bad for you.
He's actually made Fred laugh twice in this phone call.
No, because if we had a defense that could get off the field.
Exactly.
If Paul's aunt had balls, she'd be his uncle.
Exactly.
No, if they had a defense, they would have been a runaway winner.
Then I would say 16-0. Here we go.
Right.
And let's just remember the key additions you were talking about. Most of them, free agency wise, were career backups, and the guys they drafted are rookies who are, you know,
negative Eric taking over.
No, no, realistic Eric. I mean, he's talking about all these great advancements.
Team isn't
made.
Going to no Super Bowls anytime soon.
Didn't say that.
No, yes, you did. We actually have cornerbacks.
I didn't say that
Windows
just now.
Okay. Receivers now.
What?
We actually have cornerbacks that can cover wide receivers.
Well, we think we do.
Who are they? Who are they?
I think Aronson and the rookie that we drafted in the seventh round, I think he's actually really good.
Arrington's already been on the team.
I mean, let's face it. I'm with you as far as...
We're relying on a rookie to come in
but
and put, make
how
us...
many seventh-round cornerbacks come in and, you know...
Well, that's not fair. To be
he's
fair,
not a real seventh-round.
Right, he's not really
how many third-round quarterbacks come in?
Hold on a second. To his point... Denard should have been a second-round cornerback.
Second or third
right?
round, yeah. he was
right. So Vishal,
second or third round.
All right. So Vishal, how much luck have the Patriots had with second-round cornerbacks over the years?
Well, eventually they got to hit one.
Well, technically it wasn't a second-round cornerback because he was taken in the seventh, right?
So you want me to call him a seventh? How much luck have they had with seventh-round corners
over the years? Eric was trying to help you out there, Vishal.
No, I wasn't.
I know, but I'm just saying, Chung, we've had busts and busts and busts, but I just feel like he's a good player and. You know, because of his, like, punching a cop or whatever, he dropped to the seventh. But I think he's still a good player.
Right, but he was supposed to be a second-round pick or a third-round pick.
Yeah.
And they haven't had much luck drafting
those guys. It wasn't like he went from a top five pick in the draft to the seventh round. He went from a second or third-round pick to a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, and my point is they don't do well drafting cornerbacks.
And that's not going to change you from a 31st-ranked defense.
No.
You know, pass defense to Super Bowl caliber
right.
pass defense.
And drafting, you know, career backups isn't going to make it that much of an impact either.
Now, maybe the other guy.
Jones is going to make that happen.
Yeah, now, a combination of all the other moves that you've made, you hope are going to help your defense get better. But
right, and it can't, but it can't get much
Juan
worse.
Anderson was all that great last year. Like, I don't think he was all that great.
Preach it, brother. I'm with you.
He wasn't, but you had him last year and weren't very good. Now you
right,
don't.
But, like, I'd rather take the first-round draft pick that we had over him, like, any day of the week.
Okay, so at best, for year one, it's a wash, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so you're not
any
better.
Not going to be that much better.
That's Andy's point.
I
like, you take guys
like,
away and you replace
feeling.
Them.
Don't worry, Vishal, I'm with you.
He just turned into Fred.
I just got a good
I just
feeling.
Got a feeling. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, Andy, I know you were joking.
Vishal, I'm with you.
You're right. That's what being a fan's all about.
Oh, I know. Sure. Just don't try to validate it with like actual rational thought.
Yeah. Let's go.
If you think that they're going to be better just because, that's okay.
Let's go to Cat in Chicago. Hey, Cat.
Hey, girl.
How you doing?
Hey, Cat.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Great.
What's up, girl?
This is where everybody gets uncomfortable.
I was laughing because I love how the previous caller's just saying like, well, you know, because he punched a cop. You know, it's like, no,
yeah.
Oh,
well.
Cop.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
You've never punched a cop?
Sadly, I have not.
Sadly. You've wanted to, though, right?
Show's good at aggression. I like it.
Yeah. So I was calling about the concussion issue because I have a psychology degree. So, you know, I unfortunately had to take a lot of this kind of neuroscience stuff, too.
Don't mess with our minds.
No, I'm not that kind of a psychologist.
Okay. I don't want to be. No, but you're a woman. You can mess with our minds.
Yeah, I don't want to be mind bleeped.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that to you guys.
Okay.
But yeah, so you guys said something earlier about Reagan and Alzheimer's, and it struck me kind of funny because they've actually linked concussion to Alzheimer's. It's actually considered it's a causal relationship that if you have a number of concussions. You are much, much more likely to get early onset Alzheimer's or just Alzheimer's in general. It's they're actually very closely linked.
Yes,
how do you compare with the person who was already predisposed to Alzheimer's who also got the concussions?
Right. Well, that's the problem is that there's too many factors. I mean, we're talking about the brain, so
right.
it's not like you can just, you know, it's not like a knee where, you know, you can. Open up somebody's knee and see how it works and see
right.
the muscles and all of that, you know, and studying the brain via autopsy is not exactly all, I mean, it's something we can do, but it's not like you can test where things are going, where you,
right.
you can't see synapses firing, you can't do any of that the way you can with, say, like a muscle or a ligament or something like that.
So, Kat, let me ask you a question. In any of your research or anything you've seen and read, how much has been done scientifically with steroid use, extended steroid use, and its effects on the brain?
Yeah, I was wondering. Exactly. I think not a lot has been done in terms of linking it to... Well, let's put it this way. There hasn't been a lot of steroid use in the brain research, but there also hasn't been anything that kind of takes everything into account. Like, if you study the NFL, right, there are a number of factors you put in. You put in the concussion.
Mm-hmm.
You put in the steroid use.
Yep.
And you put in, you know, supplements and things, because it's not just steroids. There's a lot of other crap that those guys put in their bodies.
Sure.
That,
yep.
So, are bad news that a normal person would probably go, ooh, you eat what or you drink what?
Right.
So
maybe this is what you should do. Maybe this is your calling in life.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I research was not my cup of tea, as it turns out.
Okay.
but I like reading the studies. I don't like writing the studies.
Okay.
That's a little boring. But the other thing, too, is that the problem, you know, you guys were talking a little bit about kind of the baseline studies and stuff, too, and how guys want to get out there and want to play and all of that. The problem is that with concussions especially, they don't feel it. You know what I mean? You could still be suffering. It's kind of like a deep tissue bruise or something like that, right? You might look fine on the outside, but on the inside, mm-hmm. you're still hurt.
Right.
You can't tell. You know, your brain actually gets soft. You know, it actually gets, it kind of degrades a little bit each time you take one of these hits. It's not like, you know, if you think about it, like it's kind of like if you have something that's melted a little around the edges, and each hit it kind of cracks a little, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a piece of ice that's melting and you keep cracking it, eventually you're going to get big fissures, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the same thing that happens to the brain. But you can't, they can't tell, and they don't know, so they want to get back out there. And
right.
there's no way you can convince them that no, you're not healthy. You got to stay. You got to stay out.
But that's why it's in the hands of either the medical professional or the coach or whoever's in that higher position of power to say you can't. I think it would be fascinating, and I don't know how you'd convince any of them to do it, but if you could get a current player to undergo, whether it's in the off season or something, to undergo, like, you know, routine medical research testing for this purpose.
Right.
You know, for the purpose of studying.
They're doing it more at the college level. A lot of colleges have... I want to say Nebraska, but there are major colleges that are involved with a lot of research, practice research with wired up stuff that's monitoring hits
right.
and head and all that. So, I mean, it is being done, but even then, I think Kat's point is, I think the only real way you could do it, and I thought you were actually going to say this, Eric, is
open them up.
If you could get somebody to volunteer to their brain opened up now,
no.
and then their brain opened up next year after they played a full season with full hits.
No, I meant
their brain.
Like, if you could chart their, well, progress isn't the word, but their depreciation of brain matter, brain activity, and you could show them.
Yeah.
Look, this is what's happened over the last two seasons.
And
to
it's
you.
Gonna go there. And that's what we were talking about, the scans or, you know, electrical testing. I mean, that I think they're gonna go there. It's just it's gonna take
but
a while to
is,
take money.
Yeah,
it's,
right, exactly. Yeah. The problem is they're nowhere near. I mean, we still don't even know what all the parts of the brain do. You know what I mean? We really don't know very much about how the brain works. It's like the new frontier of science, you know, trying to discover how things are connected and all of that. So, I mean, short of what you're saying, our technology just unfortunately isn't there. So
yep.
right now we have to rely on the scans, and we have to rely on talking to the guys and asking them how they feel. And that is always going to be riddled with error. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm sure there's guys that cheat the baseline testing by doing it slower so that they know when they'll do it slower
Peyton
on the field.
Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning did it.
Well, Kat, anytime you want, Eric says you can give him a CAT scan.
All right, thanks for the call.
She is smart and sounds hot.
She does.
Nanotechnology is something that, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, could have big ramifications
like
on all of this.
The magic school bus?
No, but it's you know, the micro...
Send it up into the brain to look
you know,
around
the,
and come back
the micro nanotechnology where they actually put stuff in your body
yeah, the magic
that
bus.
Is computerized.
What
yeah.
is the yeah.
they have those pills now. They do for some stomach issues yeah. where they have you swallow it and it comes out.
Yeah.
Have What's you the taken Peyton one? Manning story?
What about
that he's didn't he say he would purposely undercut the test? Intentionally take a lower test so that he
Right.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that. Yeah,
I
missed
that.
Baseline.
But
yeah.
there's no doubt in my mind that it happens a lot at college
well,
level.
He was just saying that because it came out bad.
Mm. Well, I told you about the high school kids with my nephew and they all talked like that. You know, they screwed it up on purpose, so
right.
And I have no doubt that that goes on at every level.
And
high school,
you're
college,
just hurting. You're
pro.
Just hurting yourself.
Of course
if you do
they
that.
Do.
That's well, just that's idiotic.
Let's see. You got to understand their mentality.
I
they
do understand that they want to play, but they're not thinking long term. They're not thinking about their own.
No, they're not.
You can't
not.
Leave it in their hands. You
but
can't leave that decision.
You also
in their
can't
hand.
Take yeah. it out of their hands completely. That's the way I feel because. Right. You know, should we let Paul drink two bottles of soda during the show? It's not good for him
no,
long term, but he's an adult. He gets right. to choose right. what he gets joy right. out of, and if it kills him someday, he'll say, I enjoyed all that soda.
I actually had Paul sign a waiver.
I know it's a joke in an extreme, but there's a happy medium somewhere where you allow, I mean, everybody takes risks. You know, there's all these rock climber, you know, people get rushes and enjoy certain things that
right.
come with risk.
Right. We can't be everybody's babysitter.
If you want to sit in a bubble at home and not, you know, try to live, okay, that's fine. But most people don't want to do that. They want to live life.
Right.
And there's
but
some
just,
risk involved.
But just don't sue anybody when it happens.
Well, just don't keep facts from me while I'm living my
okay,
life.
Yeah, so.
See, but that's what makes it so complicated.
Right.
It's not just about
the
just
NFL,
don't sue me when
right.
it happens.
Basically, the NFL told the rock climber, it's okay, if you fall, you'll be fine from this 300-foot cliff. And then the guy fell and died, and the NFL goes, I guess you weren't fine. I mean, you need to have some truth and honesty in this little adventure.
Let's see.
You know, when they were told as recently as, what, 5 years ago, that there is no proof
right.
that repeated concussions do damage.
By the car mechanic who was running the concussion McKitty.
Claude is in France, and he wants to teach Eric some French.
Allô, Eric, bonjour.
Sounds an awful lot
this
like,
sounds like a lot like Olivier.
Olivier.
This is Claude from Paris. I'm the president of the gay club of Paris.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Oh, okay. You hung up on him?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
that means not, happy over there.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
I think it does.
No, it doesn't.
Gay Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
They don't mean
it's not what
I
mean.
Think
yeah.
that's
it's a city
know.
Of
it's kinda
love,
gay.
Not brotherly
yeah.
love. That's Philadelphia.
Right. Okay.
By the way, Eric has his pass to get him in all those places, too.
No, I don't.
A quick
no,
pass no. for prostitutes would be pretty cool. Skip the lines, go right to the front.
Sure.
Fast pass it.
Oh, God.
And with him, based on the 8-year drought, I'm pretty sure
Ken
it's
is in
be
North
a
Carolina.
Stop
hey,
these
Ken.
These ridiculous numbers are on. I don't know why you
hey,
made this up in
What's
the first
going
place.
On?
A hole.
How much? How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Doing great, Ken.
Got some good weather up there?
Actually, it's
finally
been raining for the last 3 days, but it's supposed to be nice for the weekend.
Like 3 weeks.
Okay, well, that's good. For the mini camp here.
Yep.
Hey, listen, you know, going back to the Gronk thing, I mean, I understand you got to have fun when you're a kid, and I'm all for that. But, you know, at a certain point, people are starting to laugh at him. And
some people are, yes.
I see some things on his. Well, he's got to take his career, I think, a bit more serious.
See, I don't.
Do
I think
know,
he
well,
takes
how do you
his
know
career
he's
as seriously as anyone.
Yeah, how
I
do you
also
know
think he takes
seriously.
His downtime as
well,
seriously as anyone.
He is going to play football like he did last year.
You
but,
do or don't.
I mean, his downtime is his downtime, but boy, I'll tell you what. I think he needs to start building some walls around himself. To protect himself, or you know, things coming up, and you know, he's a young, very young man.
Strapping.
Wait.
And,
so,
but why? Did,
but
understand.
What are you talking about?
Why does
about?
He need to build walls?
So he
himself?
Should have like an entourage and state troopers that force girls into bathrooms for him. Because Ben
no,
Roethlisberger
no, no,
had a great
no.
entourage.
No, no. No
why do you have to go there?
Because
why
I
does
just
he need,
don't understand
that's
the
not,
criticism.
That's not what he's saying.
No, but I asked why does he need to build walls around?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't understand
what he's
that.
When I say build walls around, you just be very careful about what you do on these silly little things that you do.
Well, what has he done that's been wrong?
You might
want
to limit those.
But why?
Why?
That, see,
what has he done wrong?
Ken, I think you and I are probably like-minded.
I don't think he's done anything wrong. I'm just saying
like-aged.
That, you know, this is something that is going to develop through the years where he's going to go, why did I do that?
But, right. The more he exposes himself to shenanigans, the more likely that is
but
to
who,
happen.
But
everybody
who,
goes through it.
Who in the world can't say that 20 years after they did something?
Right.
Why in the world did I do that?
I'm just saying, the more...
Everybody does that.
Including the
life.
Last two franchise quarterbacks
you,
who have played
have
here.
You not...
The more
said,
you...
Why did I do that 20 years ago?
No, I'm saying, who
hasn't
said
that?
Said that?
Yeah. Exactly.
I could give you a list of 100 things that I did in my 20s that I, now that I'm in my 40s, I look and say, what was I thinking? Well, you know, why did I do that? But
it's called growing up. It's maturing.
I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, for the most part, I wouldn't necessarily want to change any of them. They were all experiences. And Rob Gronkowski is a young guy who is absolutely taking.
Rob Gronkowski when you were 22.
That's true.
No, I was.
But what does that have to do with
anything? I was nowhere near the athlete. What are you trying to say?
Yeah, but what is that?
I don't understand. I don't get it. No, I'm very defensive of Gronkowski here.
Me too.
I mean, he's a 22-year-old kid who's having fun. What is he doing wrong?
Now, if he comes out this year and he's out of shape and he's
that's
he can't
different.
Play, that's
then,
different.
Then there would be evidence that he's not taking
exactly.
his career seriously.
You think there's a chance that happens?
No, I don't. None. I think there's 0% chance of that.
All he does is work out and put videos of it online.
Exactly.
I don't think there's any chance of that.
So until it starts to affect his on-field play, I don't understand why everybody is giving him a hard time.
Now, this is not going to affect his on-field play.
Well, then so what do you care?
So he does things that you wouldn't necessarily do. Ken? I wouldn't necessarily do it either. I wouldn't necessarily want to be on a reality show either. But if he wants to do it, you know, if he wants to do it, why not?
Now we're here.
What, Fred, would you want to, you already said that you weighed in. You think the show's stupid.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with how I think it's going to affect his play. I just don't think it's a good career move.
Well, I don't care about it. I don't think
his career is in football.
Yeah, I don't think
a good career move is catching 17.
I think it's a silly show, but I don't think it's going to hurt his career. I don't think it's a bad career move.
I'm an old guy.
His off-field career.
As an old guy, we both agree. You know, it's not going to hurt his career.
Then why can't he do it if he wants to?
Then why is everybody so upset about these things? I don't understand.
I'm not terribly upset about it. I'm just wondering.
Well, you're telling him he needs to change.
Are we going to continue? I'd rather see him.
Once he gets married and has kids.
I just think it's part of growing up. I mean, Tom Brady was every bit.
Oh, yeah.
Every bit is out there.
I mean, I was
Gronk.
22 at one point in my life.
And you weren't,
believe it
you know.
Or not.
But that was before women could vote. I mean, for God's sake.
No. Shut up.
Yes! Good, Ken.
You are an asshole.
Oh!
Now we got to let you go.
You can't say that.
We got to let you go now.
You can't say that.
Wow.
Now we got to let you go. I got to turn my back on you.
You ever notice how you get, like, the old ladies and everybody to yell at you? Whatever. He deserved it. He was going on and making no sense.
I didn't think Ken had that. I think he's a zero to hot guy.
Apparently. Yeah, he might be. No, but you thought that it was about me. I was getting defensive for Rob. I don't get. He does things that I would not necessarily have ever wanted to do, whether I was 20 or 44, which I'm about to be. No. But I don't understand why people are so concerned about what Rob Gronkowski's doing when the only evidence on the field is at an all-time high. That's the only thing that people should be worried about. As long as he's not doing anything to jeopardize the team, why is everybody so concerned? Why was him dancing after the Super Bowl an issue? I don't get it.
Well, I think that had more to do with people were
the fact
feeling
that they
crummy.
Lost. I think people
and
are
they
waiting
him
for
to
him
to feel crummy, too.
Right. They're waiting for his performance to drop so they can say, see, I told you, because he's on a reality show, because he doesn't care. That's what they're waiting for with this guy.
Well, he's only been in years.
It's setting it up. They're setting
two
it
years,
up.
So, you know.
And then the other thing that's going to happen, Andy, Eric, and I talked about this. What did he have? 1,400 plus yards and 18 touchdowns?
Yeah.
I mean, his numbers are bound to drop, right? He
right.
can't go up any
right.
higher. And so then it was,
that's
see,
a setup
I told
right.
you.
Right, right.
I told you.
Especially with the new weapons that Brady
right.
has.
If
Brandon
Lloyd's
going to have 10
right.
touchdowns, you know?
Well, relax for a minute. If Brandon Lloyd has anything, it could come at the cost of
right.
Gronkowski's numbers. Or it could just come because every defense in the NFL says, I'm not letting him beat me.
That's right.
Do whatever you want with the midget receiver and anybody else. He ain't beating
me. It seems like these things run not week to week as much as season to season, where other teams are just going to sit there and say, all right, I can't let this guy do it to me anymore.
And if he does it, well, now you're talking about the greatest tight end that ever walked the planet.
Yeah.
If everybody says, if I'm going to triple team him and he still scores 17 touchdowns, well, then he's just the greatest.
Right.
But I just get so angry at all these, like, pompous, high on their horse.
That's
he's
what I'm
22,
talking about.
Or whatever he is.
23.
He's in the NFL, riding a high. Everybody, mm-hmm. you know, the thing we joked about, men want to be him, women want to be with him, and he's not supposed to enjoy it. He's not supposed
right.
to. I mean, everybody, or most people in their 20s, lived as high as they could get.
You didn't have the opportunity to go to Cancun, to go to Hollywood, because you're a nobody.
Right.
But you went to the bar and you went to this and tried to do as much as you could.
He's a college kid.
Having fun.
Living out every college kid's dream.
And the funny thing is, when Bledsoe was young, people said, man, he made a big mistake getting married. He should enjoy it. You know, so they were criticizing him for not doing it.
Because people are never happy.
Yeah.
They're all jealous curmudgeons.
Cole from Waterloo says about the concussions.
I got no problem with Ken. I'm on Ken's side.
That was the greatest.
Anybody who tells you off is on my side.
The greatest rebuttal in the history of TFW in progress.
I thought for sure he was just going to call you an ass. And then he finished it, and I was like, oh, he's angry.
I thought he was just going to end it with shut up. Ken, my new favorite listener of all time.
Apparently, Ken is thin-skinned Ken in North Carolina.
Right now,
you might find out when his fist is punching you in the face.
A chair just went through a window in North Carolina. He's pissed.
Yeah. Calm down, Ken. We do that's what we do on this show.
Pissed,
but also, call back. Because
we don't play the Panthers this year, do we? So I was going to say, he might meet us at the bus. He'd be looking for you.
And Fred will be pushing you out the door.
beat you with his cane.
Cole from Waterloo, do you think that coaching has an effect on concussions, both on their own team and an opposing team? I think a coach could reward a player with playing time for big hits, legal or not. Have you heard that there's a coach or a few coaches with a higher number of concussed players?
No. Concussions have grown because they're now called concussions. The numbers are on the rise because they're now being, they're not, you know,
it used to be called got his bell rung.
Yeah, or something.
Dinged.
Now they're being called concussions.
Lance has a big debate he needs us to help him with. He's from Kokomo, Indiana. He says, one of my friends is a huge 49er fan, so lately he's been bashing me because he says Montana is the best QB of all time. On NFL Network, they've mentioned that if Brady can win one more Super Bowl, he will surpass Montana as the best. I've argued this with my friend, and he says, no way. What are your thoughts?
Montana never lost, right?
Never lost a Super Bowl.
4-0.
But I think
he didn't lose the playoff game.
Yes, I know.
Yes, he didn't win.
So has Brady.
He didn't win the Super Bowl every year he played. Right. You are correct.
But I think the argument is that Brady got to more Super Bowls, which is more impressive.
Yeah, but he choked.
It's hard to argue against perfection.
I hate when we say it's a team game and we go with individual achievement. You know, like if you win a Super Bowl, it's Montana won the Super Bowl. I hate that. So
yeah, but that's how it works.
But
no,
if
I know.
You just
I don't
look
like
at
it.
The two guys. Who do you think is the better quarterback? Forget about wins and losses. You know, who's the better quarterback?
I think it's a toss-up.
I think they're very similar.
Yeah, very tough.
Athletically,
I think they're about the same.
Montana's
a much better athlete.
I think Brady had a better arm, has a better arm.
I think it's a toss-up. I think they're both superb.
I think Brady's better.
Of course you do.
I have no problem with that. Yeah. And I would have no problem with the guy who tells me Montana's better. I don't personally think either one of them are the best
of all time. I think
Elway's
better than both of them.
I agree.
But that's all right.
I agree. I'm with
you. If Mecklenburg had played quarterback, he'd be the best ever.
And he'd have 1 7 under one pit, the other 7 under the other pit.
Craig from Ottawa, Ontario. Do you know what company was doing the research with Green Ellis last year in the playoffs? He had the mouth guard that was sensing the impact on the head. It was green, and if you got a huge hit, it turned red. Blood, no. to show you should be out. The doctor could see that and take people out if it turned red.
I don't know the company.
I remember hearing something about this, but I don't know the company.
But that seems flawed to me because obviously it turns red because you bit down on it, right?
And concussions don't have anything to do with the biting down.
Right.
So if you're, for some reason, a weird person whose mouth goes limp when you get hit in the head, like,
it wouldn't register, and
you may have just had the biggest hit of your life.
Right.
So that's what it's all flawed, and I think Kat pointed that out.
Jorgen from Denmark says, why doesn't the NFL ban the helmet slapping or helmet butting teams used for celebration? I don't think that's healthy.
It might not be.
Yeah. The butting thing can't be.
Yeah, no, Tom Brady's the biggest guilty guy of that.
Yeah, he is.
And he almost ended Brady and Graham's careers.
How about Troy Polamalu got hit on a play. I think it might have been against the Browns or something a season or so ago. And he was clearly woozy when he was trying to get up from the ground, and his teammate came over and headbutted him to celebrate. And
no, they do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
In that little thing of, you know, if there's a number of hits, you know, for every 100 hits, it's an issue. Well, stop doing the extra 5 or 10 you don't need to be doing.
Jim writes in, who is Brandon Bolden, and did we just sign him? Is he destined for greatness?
He's a running back out of Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Had a broken leg. I don't know. He had some kind of injury where it cost him like 5 games. Had like 400 yards.
5'11", 220-ish?
Yeah,
something
he's
like
thick.
That.
He's Benny 2.0.
Meh. I didn't like him.
Brian,
if he's meh, then he's Benny 2.0.
I thought Betty was better in college. Let's put it that way.
Well, he was far more productive. Far more productive, exactly.
But this guy was hurt, so who knows?
Brian writes in, to be honest, who cares about Gronkowski, what he does off the field, as long as it's legal, and even then it's up to the police. When you get down to it, he can do whatever the hell he wants as long as he doesn't impact his performance on the field. And at that point, believe me, Bill will have absolutely no problem addressing it. How about we worry about things worthy worrying about, like improving the 31st ranked defense in the league?
Good point.
I don't agree with that guy either, because if he starts raping women or doing stuff like
that's
that,
legal. That's what he said, as long as it's legal.
But he made a joke of it. He's not even anywhere near that. He's just having fun.
He's having fun.
He's
right.
Drinking, partying, and God forbid, doing a reality show.
Mm.
Somebody said, I was an old-time GM. He says, I don't care what they do as long as they don't wake up next to a dead woman or a kid.
Why do the Raiders get so many penalties?
old-time GM.
I wanted to bring something up back to the start of the show when we talked to Gallery.
That guy didn't believe in concussions either.
No, his name was
I think he had a few.
Something.
I think he had a few. Back to something Gallery said at the very top of the show when we were talking about the off-season program. Andy, you asked him, some of the guys like Will Allen and Daniel Fells said it. And he made a comment that I thought was interesting. The later start, maybe there is an updated urgency or an increased urgency to their pace because there's fewer of them. And they don't have as much of this time to do the off-season program as they had in the past. Maybe that's part of why it's been so eye-opening to a lot of these veterans. Sure. Maybe, if Will Allen went back to Miami this year, it would have been similarly, no fooling around.
Could be.
I didn't really think of that. I was just thinking, well, the Patriots do things different than everybody
else.
We're better. Yeah. For lack of a better word, yeah. I was thinking,
we're not saying our way is the only way.
But I wonder if maybe it's just because of the CBA and the dates and shortened time frame, and there's less of them, so they have to be a little bit more
proactive. So they'll be bitching. They want the old schedule back. Let's start earlier and easier.
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends what you want. Would you want to do easier workouts for a longer period of time or, more strenuous workouts in a shorter period of time?
I work out hard every time.
Oh, God.
You certainly don't do anything on your legs.
Tyler,
that's true.
Tyler from Georgia, about the whole Patriots can't be beat, he says, this 19-0 confidence is wonderful, but I think seeing the schedule as there is no team we can't beat is a more realistic way than to see the season than there is no team that can beat us.
Oh, there's certainly no team they can't beat.
Right.
But I would have
probably said that about 15 different teams, though. I mean, can't beat?
Right.
I agree with that. That's a much better way of looking at it. There's no team that they can't beat. No question. There's no team in the league that they can't beat.
Paul writes
except the Giants when it matters.
why does he got to go there?
One,
everything but Patriots.com,
pass away.
Fred.
Twice.
Paul says twice. There is a report a few years ago about the detrimental effects to soccer players from the cumulative effects of hitting headers playing soccer. If that's true, I don't see the NFL getting a handle with concussions from tackling or blocking.
What?
He says if that's true, if there's a detrimental effect from just heading a soccer ball, how do you get a handle on guys who need to tackle and block in a sport? How do you get a handle on that?
That's part of my argument.
Yeah.
But there's also they wonder about the specific way they headbutt it with the certain right at the kind of top whatever.
Yeah, and you could argue that you're intentionally hitting something that's hard with your head. I mean, it's not like, oh, my God, I never would have thought you got concussions from
soccer. And you don't have a helmet on.
They actually, for a while, they were marketing this little headband that the kids could wear that's supposed to, alleviate the blow from the headers, but the kids
didn't work.
It was stupid looking, so they didn't wear it,
Think they'll ever just take, you can't hit the ball with your head.
And you don't really
need
to.
No, I don't think they will.
You can't do that.
Take that out of soccer much easier than you can take anything out of football. In terms of head injuries.
That's part of what I was saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's easy. You don't need to do that to play soccer.
But I don't think there's this big...
Make them bicycle kick.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think there's
speaking of concussions.
The type of problem with head injuries that we see in American football that you see in soccer.
Taylor Twellman would beg to differ.
Right. He might. He's one player out of a lot.
This emailer is right. There's a widespread thing in soccer right now that concussions are becoming a big problem.
Right.
In high school, I believe there's a thing in high school that's the number one sport for concussions.
Is that right?
Is soccer.
Well, a lot of it isn't even the ball. It's when you get up in the
and
head.
And you hit somebody
These
else.
These guys are hitting each other's heads.
Right.
So if you take the header, sorry, Andy, out of the game, You know, there won't be that urge to jump up and perhaps collide coconuts.
Todd writes in, hey, guys, in Le Petit Ve Artistique.
They all start with Le Petit.
Just so you know, he rolled his eyes again.
I don't think it's crazy to think. I don't think it's crazy to think this year's team could approach the dominance of 07.
That was the first one, right?
Maybe not in as flashy as play as 07, but dominance as the 03, 04 teams were. We can all agree the offense was great last year. In adding Fells, Gallery, Gaffney, and Lloyd, Patriots' first picks have a history of coming in and contributing right away. So it's not a big leap to think that they could be a great deal better up front, and the addition of three or four guys in the secondary could make that group very different. Okay? That's what we're all hoping for.
No place to go but up except one spot down.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, writes in. He says, I once woke up next to a dead woman, but it was okay. She was already dead when I brought her home.
Oh, my God. He is terrible. Did he buy lunch today, by the way?
No.
No.
Tuesdays.
Okay. Who did buy lunch today? We didn't offer
Chris
Perry
with the TIAN.
Oh!
The first of four.
How long were you keeping that from us?
He didn't send an email or anything?
Good job, Christian.
Is he homesick?
Thanks, homeboy.
That's a stand-up guy right there. Pays up his bets. Stand-up guy.
Well, a quarter of his bet.
We won't hold
one, one's enough.
One per month is enough. You're right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's going to do one per month.
Really?
Okay, what's in your mouth? You got a dip in your mouth?
Are you dipping back there? Don't do that. That's terrible.
That's not
dip. That is disgusting. Don't be like Gary.
Yeah.
Well, be like Gary in work ways, but not with a dip in your mouth.
Exactly.
What's that? Yeah, that's
not... it's seeds? Okay. It's not tobacco.
Don't dip.
Seeds. That's weird, too.
What are you, like 11?
He does have an oral
now, maybe
fixation,
he's
apparently,
right.
Though.
Yeah, maybe he's gay. Yeah, you're gay. Yeah.
Won't that be gay
of him? Is dipping a big gay thing?
He wants to put something in his mouth all the time.
Oh, that's a gay thing.
If it's a penis, yes.
Or the guy that immediately thinks of the fact that he has sunflower seeds. Right, Fred?
Right.
You know, what's the song that you like to sing about Andy?
Completely gay reasons.
It's always on his mind.
Well done, Paul. You got him to do it on air.
Nathan and Iverson. Nathan from...
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
You're talking about a game.
Talking about practice.
Not a game, mind you. From Southern California. Jake Steele, Big Head, Miller Heavy, and Ben Gay. Last year, we acquired Anderson.
Screw you, bitch.
He was a very productive running back.
He was for a while for Cleveland Browns.
What's it? Ron Borges thought he was the second coming of, like, Bo Jackson or something.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah, he wrote, like, massive articles about him.
Run inside, run outside, inside, outside, outside, inside. Last year, we acquired Anderson and Carter, which improved our pressure on the QB, still with room for improvement. Do you think we will apply more pressure on QBs this year? No Anderson, Carter coming off an injury, and our two first-rounders are rookies.
Yes.
You do think more.
I was not overly impressed with the pass rush last year, despite the sack numbers.
Okay.
And I think the versatility we've talked about up front could lead to runaway rushers and pressures that could be beneficial to the defense.
And it may not show up with, 10 more sacks than they had last year, but it might be more pressure.
Okay.
Did you like the pass rush last year, Fred? Just from a, don't think of, they had 29 sacks. Oh,
it was middler. Midland.
Middling?
Middling.
It was better than the previous year.
Yeah.
Even though it may not have said? Statistically, I don't know if it showed. I don't even know how many sacks they had the last 2 years. But I thought they had more pressure on the quarterback last year than they did the year before.
Right.
But I still don't think it was. I thought when they had pressure last year, they got a sack. It just seemed like, every time they had someone, flush the quarterback, they got a sack out of it. Whereas I think Andy's thing could be right. You could see some runaway rushers, and then all of a sudden the quarterback just has to throw it away.
Yeah.
Because the guy came clean. He had absolutely no chance to dump it off anyway. He just threw it away.
And there was a lot of times last year where you say, they almost got there. But it wasn't a play where they moved the quarterback off his spot. It's just that he got it away just before the pocket collapsed.
Sure.
That's different. That's not really a pressure in my mind.
If he doesn't move, he's not pressured.
And to me, the year before, if you take out the game against Roethlisberger, they had absolutely no pressure the other 15 games.
Lastly, do you think this will help our secondary, all this change? That was our hypothesis last year. If we applied more pressure, then our secondary would improve. But somehow we did the opposite. We applied more pressure, and our secondary got worse. Interested for your feedback.
I don't think the secondary can be much worse than it was last year. So that's going to get better, whether it's the pass rush or personnel or luck.
Defense as a whole.
If you can get a little bit better in your coverage and a little bit better in your pass rush, then maybe it can help.
As long as they come in concert.
That's why I said right. both and.
Matt, but if they come on separate plays, if they cover well on one play and rush well on another, and they never marry those two together,
I said and,
they'll
not
still
old.
Suck. Hey, Matt, what are you? How's the live tweeting going over there?
As opposed to the taped tweeting.
Pretty good. No, he doesn't have his mic.
We don't hear you, though. I mean, what's going on over there?
Yeah, there you go.
It's going pretty well. We have a lot of interaction so far, and
good.
Fans taking very well to it.
We are we're just becoming totally interactive, PFW, from the tailgate. I mean, what's it called?
Pre-game
social. Pre-game social.
Thanks for listening.
I like this. I'm a man of the people, you know.
Matt from Quincy says, guys, I really want to see – the guy I really want to see is Chandler Jones. He just doesn't look to me like the sure thing that some are making him out to be.
He's not.
He's very lanky. And it didn't look super fast coming off the line in college. In a weird way, even though he was a first-round pick, he looks like a bit of a project who will need a lot of coaching and development. Certainly has the right body type, but he looks more like an athlete than a football player at this point.
Well, if you believe that, then you're probably in the Jason Pierre-Paul comparison mold. And I don't understand how you can say he looks lanky and then you like his body type.
He likes lanky, apparently.
But he doesn't. He said he looks lanky, and he made it sound like a negative, and then he likes his body type.
Maybe he just thinks that he's got a frame that can be built upon.
Oh, it definitely can. Oh, he could put on – I mean, some people believe he's going to end up at 300 pounds and be a potential 3-4 end. Now, I talked to his position coach. He thinks probably 10 pounds, but he thinks he's going to stay a lanky, long-armed. He's not going to get thick because that's not his natural physique and body type. But he's definitely – a projection. He is not a start him from day one and you're going to get what you're going to get from day one.
Yeah, he's probably not as ready as Hightower coming out of college, but I think Jones is a more talented more talented guy.
I saw him take the deep breath he always takes before he ends the show.
He shut it all down. Too.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We want to thank everyone who emailed and called in. If we didn't get to your email, sorry about that.
What about the call you didn't get to?
A lot of concussion stuff.
Flash. Kat, call back next week. But we like you, girl.
We will have a good
you
weekend,
like
everyone.
To talk head with you.
And we will see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.